waters. No one asks about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain. And no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now until the end. Tonight's the test.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are live. It is the Info Warrior. Normally with Jason Burmes, and he's going to be in here with the lady from SSRIstories.com. 3,000 plus mainstream news stories, government documents, you name it, admitting that the SSRIs are causing people to kill each other. Now, I was just getting some hand signals in there. I never know what those mean. Yeah, 10 o'clock. Fantastic. So I'll be out of here at 10, or at least until the hour after that, and I'll come back in. Burmes is going to interview her. I had her on a few days ago, but she was on about 30 minutes. This will be more in-depth as she runs through the horror stories and the fact that the establishment is aware of this and that it actually causes people to go crazy, which is what the medical establishment, Big Pharma, wants, so they can then put you on even more drugs. And it's been in the news lately about how Merck, Vioxx, and Gardasil fame said they want to hunt down and kill, liquidate anybody that disagrees with them, scientists and others especially that are criticizing them and exposing them. Because this is a trillion-plus dollar industry every year, and they're not about to go quietly into the dark globally. They're going to ship out their age-tainted blood, if Bayer Pharmaceutical. They're going to do all the things they do. They're going to put the aspartame in the kids' food at the schools. They're going to put the sodium fluoride in your water because they're the eugenicists. They're the wicked people on power trips, and they get off on doing it. And until we grow up and become serious and face the facts of what's going on, it's only going to get more dire. I am here tonight to cover a lot of important news. As Roddy Piper said, I am here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum. And the Money Bomb has been a great, great success. My accountant and the IT person, the accountant and the IT person that would go over the PayPal, the credit card, the phone calls that are coming in to tabulate it all and give us a grand total, is taking some time off tonight, but he'll be back later. And they both worked until about 1 in the morning last night, so they just went and took a break, went home and took naps, I'm told. But we can tell you that we have raised $271,000 with the second annual 2009 InfoWars.com Money Bump. That's very exciting. That will allow us to hire at least two video editors, a couple webmasters and writers, get the bigger space next door and complete most of the TV studio. And I'll use our other capital to finish it. And I would say we've been able to move in there. They say 3 months of renovation because it's an empty warehouse. A couple more months to get the new studio built. Within 6 to 8 months, we should have the official TV studio set up, not just for the radio / TV, but for the TV show that I'm developing for television. So that is unfolding there, ladies and gentlemen, and we couldn't do it without you. Think of all we've done. Think about how they've gotten the 222 sponsors. It's now up to 226. It's 225 earlier today to audit the Fed. That'll be going to the floor of the House. Whether it passes or not, people are now learning the Federal Reserve is private and the source of our enslavement and our problems. So, if I tried to list all the positive things that have happened, all the positive things, this movement against tyranny, free peoples everywhere, you can't even call it a movement, are having against tyranny right now. It's just incredible. And I want to open the phones up in this first hour for everybody out there so you can talk about whatever you like and talk about the successes we've all had together. We'll be right back with a ton of news. Stay with us. Thank you.
into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
In this first hour, I am here in the catbird seat, in the cockpit, as they say. Jason Burmis in the second and third hour tonight. He's going to have the researcher on who runs SSRStories.com, SSRIStories.com. Incredibly informative. You think you know all about these drugs and the carnage that they have reaped across the nation? Get ready for this. I do want to single somebody out for praise. I don't normally do this. Because we got so much to cover and so much going on. But I was driving home last night at about 12:15, and I caught myself at home 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, listening to the end of the hour. George Norrie had a film director on from a film called, that I haven't seen yet, but we're going to get him on, called RX Generation. Not Generation X, RX Generation. And it was just amazing what he was breaking down, what he was saying. And George Norrie, just the way he calmly and brought in past cases of drugs killing children and hurting children and deforming children, and how he brought up the points about how they want the people to get more mentally ill on the drugs so they can put more drugs in them. For him to do that with his 16 million listeners, he's got a lot of courage. Because on my show today, I read the mainstream news articles where Merck has been caught in federal court putting out hit teams saying neutralize, seek and destroy, go to their homes where they live and take them out. And we know that a lot of researchers that have exposed Big Pharma have died. And the media is trying to go, oh, well, they just meant figuratively kill them. They meant discredit them. No, folks. So we'll be going over that in the second and third hour. But I did want to come in tonight and tell folks that I want to thank them for supporting us and what we're doing. We couldn't have done any of this without you, the people buying the books, the videos, the T-shirts, the materials. Everybody that lives in the real world knows it takes a lot of money to run a radio show, to make films, to run news websites. And we've never had the big corporate sponsors. We've gotten a little bit better at going out and finding, you know, independent great products out there to sponsor us. And that carries the majority of the load. But we're just making it right now. With the amount of funds coming in our expanded mode from last year, we were able to expand because of the money bomb, and we need a money bomb again to stay the same size and expand a little bit. And so you've made that possible. So all the great work we're doing, all the huge stories we're breaking, the massive effect we're having, all of you are right there with us, right beside us in this fight because of your donations. So God bless you, and we appreciate it. It won't be able to counter the IRS taking trillions of dollars every year and using it against us. They force us to give to them and then use it against us. So we have to learn to vote with our dollars and support alternative media and ideas and products and everything else to try to change this paradigm. But the establishment has figured out that we're starting to vote with our dollars, so they're moving to just get rid of the free market altogether and bring in this command and control system, and the announcements are being made everywhere. I'm going to go through some of those news headlines in a moment, but I want to give you the toll-free number to call in to the show at Genesis. It's 866-582-9933, 866-582-9953. I've probably gotten 50, 60 emails the last 2 weeks from people. I wanted to answer this question now, and obviously answering it never answers it. But I've said any sponsor that I endorse, any sponsor you hear me plugging, myself and my voice, I believe in. People are saying, well, why are you then endorsing one of these tax settlement companies? Well, because it's proven that if you individually try to settle taxes with the offshore criminal IRS, they will rake you over the coals and lie and cheat you. But these big lawyer-run firms, they make quick deals and generally get people to have their, quote, tax debt cut by 70%. I've made this very clear on air. I mean, before I tell that story, here's another parallel, okay? So you understand how my mind works. Doesn't mean you have to agree with me, but understand that everything I'm doing is congruent. It all fits together in my worldview. You know, I'm consistent with what I do. We've had a sponsor who sells stun guns, tasers, pepper spray, stuff like that, And when I plug the sponsor, people get mad saying, I thought you were against tasers. No, I'm not against tasers. I'm against police misusing tasers when a 72-year-old woman argues with them and then says, okay, I'll sign the ticket, and he tasers her. Or I'm against them tasering a 5-year-old kid and they die. I'm against the police using it to torture people and using it for paying compliance, as courts have ruled they can now do. Torture is legal in the U.S. to, quote, make you give a DNA sample or make you follow orders. That's cattle prods. That's tyranny. But am I for a woman who doesn't want to own a gun and is scared of them, but to learn how to use a taser and have that in her purse? Absolutely. Do I own a couple tasers for my wife? Absolutely. We have firearms, but they're locked up because we have children, and the tasers are secured as well, but they're something which probably, you know, wouldn't kill somebody if they accidentally discharged it. You know, one chance out of 1,000 instead of, you know, one chance out of 3. If you get shot with a gun, on average, you die, and that's a rough average. But you know, that's the issue here. people have emailed me and said, you're against the cops shooting a suspect in the back, but you say you're pro-Second Amendment. What type of weird mental gymnastics is this to try to catch me in some logical fallacy? I'm for the Second Amendment, an individual right to keep and bear arms, but I'm against a bank robber misusing a gun, and I'm against a cop misusing a gun, shooting somebody in the back for no reason. It's not that I'm against the Second Amendment for cops, but for it for the people. I'm against the police misusing it. I'm against the people misusing it when they commit crimes with it. It's not the gun that did it. Same thing with this tax business. Aaron Russo in Reflections and Warnings, that interview we've put out on DVD that's available at Infowars.com, and I hope people get and make copies of them, get out to people. It's also at PrisonPlanet.tv, where you can download it and burn copies and give it to everybody in high quality. But the issue is, Aaron explains, I tell people, pay their taxes. This is the mafia. They will hurt you. Yeah, one out of maybe 30 people that fight the IRS win. And many others don't pay for decades and under the radar, and that's great. You make your own personal decision. I'm saying for those that want to settle and you know, with the mafia and generally get about 70% off, these places have proven they can do that. And the IRS is even being more lenient because nobody has the money to pay anyways, and they're so greedy to take the money and take it offshore, they do it. So I'm saying if you want the liens off your house and your business and your life and don't want them to set you up in a kangaroo court, you could settle with the mafia. See, I'm not here to get my listeners in trouble. I'm not here. I remember everybody was like, go to the Browns, bring your guns. And I said, you can go to the Browns for picnics and things, but no, if you go with guns, you're going to end up probably getting set up and sent to prison. There's going to be feds all over the place there. And I support the Browns and think they shouldn't go to prison. But this is going to end bad for everybody, and I don't want the shooting war to start now. And, oh, Alex is a coward. Alex doesn't want the shooting war to start, and Alex is a Fed because, you know, no, the Feds are the ones trying to stir things up. And you saw how that ended. And it's the same. I have a moral responsibility to break all this down. So I'm very proud to have a sponsor that sells tasers. I'm very proud to have a sponsor who, if the IRS is trying to screw you and you don't want to go completely underground or have a chance of going to prison, pay them. It's all fiat anyways. They only want to tax you to control you. They only want to tax you to control the fiat system. They're going to tax you with the cashless society. I got news for you. They're going to get rid of the income taxes, as you know it, have a world ID, world cashless society tax. And they're now announcing that. So that's the issue there. Yes, if I can figure out, like I won't take all these debt settlement companies that we found out over the years come and say, oh, we'll get 100% of your debt forgiven. That's a fraud. That's a scam. But these people that say 60, 70%, they can go to the credit card companies and get them reduced. That's real. See, I go do investigations and go, oh, this is a real sponsor. We'll do it. See how that works? But look, I'm already digressing. It doesn't even matter. Just I get these emails. I get these questions. And then it doesn't matter if I answer them. They'll say, you didn't answer the question when I did. I believe in tasers. I believe in the Second Amendment. And there's nothing hypocritical about that, saying I buy tasers. I'm against the misuse of them, just like guns, but it doesn't seem to – it doesn't matter, folks. You know, the issue here is the globalism is coming down on us like a ton of bricks, and we've got to agree with each other on the general things we agree on and move forward against the New World Order. But I will say again before I get into the news and your calls, InfoWars Money Bomb, ladies and gentlemen, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. A lot of people, hundreds of people called and said, we want to give, but we're cashing our paychecks this Friday or depositing this Friday. Can we give Monday? Absolutely. And 100% of your donation will go to expand the operation here. And we appreciate all of you making this possible. But I know a lot of you appreciate the work we've done. So we're doing this symbiotically together. Give Saturday, give Sunday, give Monday. You can give 2 weeks from now if you want. You can give $1, give $1,000. You can buy my books and DVDs. You can get them free all over the place and make copies and give them to folks. Just spread the word. That's what it's all about. I don't care if you buy a TRT Infowars.com t-shirt. This is how we fund the revolution against the globalists. This is how we challenge the big corporate mainstream media and the tax-free foundations. You know, you look at the Rockefeller model of starting PBS and NPR, and then they have local fund drives, and their tax-free foundations even make money off of that. We're countering them. We're trying to resist what they're doing, using our tax money against us. So, again, I am proud of the Money Bomb being so successful. $270,000. Let's throw that up on screen. $270,000, and that was as of 2 hours ago when they last did the accounting. And so at this rate, I would guess we'll hit about $300,000, and that is really fantastic. That will really allow us. Every $30,000, $40,000 is another person on the team. Because even if somebody's paid $30,000, $10,000, it's really $40,000 because of the taxes that go to the bastards. Believe me, you know what? I mean, I can't stand the income tax system. I know I'm fighting to abolish the IRS, to abolish the Federal Reserve. But I know that if I didn't sit there and pay these taxes, they'd come and SWAT team this place and shut it down. And sure, I might beat them in 5 years in court, but this whole operation shuts down. See, I'm picking my battles, ladies and gentlemen. And I would tell a lot of you out there, instead of nitpicking about what we're doing, why don't you step up since you've got all the answers and build your own media system and fight the New World Order? Well, I know a lot of you are, so we salute you. Support all alternative media. We'll be right back. Your calls and a ton of news straight ahead. Actually, this is my call list from today. I need to pull up the Genesis call list. Because Burmese has got one IM and then there's another one. There it is. GCN Studio, who is up first in line here? I was trying to find. Okay, that's what I thought. Howard in Philadelphia. Thank you so much. This is crazy. They're up in Minnesota. We're down in Austin, Texas, and I got a crew in there. Okay, I'm going to go to your calls, but then coming up, we are going to get into this article. London Guardian is being bought by investment bank Rothschild. So you're not going to see the London Guardian doing coverage of Bilderberg Group anymore. So that is in the news there. Here's some of the other news we have. U.S. cities may have to be bulldozed in order to survive. Dozens of U.S. cities may have entire neighborhoods bulldozed as part of a drastic shrink to survive proposals being considered by the Obama administration to tackle economic decline. What does the federal government have to do with cities? What do they have to do with taking over the banks, taking over GM and Chrysler and handing it over to foreign countries? Taxpayer paid for. What does it have to do with all these youth corps domestically? And Obama's in trouble for that, firing somebody that was criticizing the corruption of the Sacramento mayor, his little minion friend. Here's the Associated Press. Obama ousted AmeriCorps' head who investigated Friend. And this is the youth corps and the red and black uniforms marching around. I mean, it's really going on. Here's another one I meant to get to yesterday. Climate laws add to police workload. And see, their spin on it is, oh, the police are complaining because they've got to start arresting everybody and micromanaging everybody for any type of carbon footprint that's illegal in Australia. That's out of the Herald Sun. The same thing is being set up here in the United States. And here's another one that we're going to get up on Infowars.com. This is from the MSNBC. San Francisco to impose fines for tossing food scraps. Now, how does this start? How does this start? Same thing was done in England. This is how they train you to be tattletales. About 6 years ago in England, under Tony Blair, they began this process of having neighbors only spy on you to look in your trash can to make sure you were recycling. And all over the world, all over the Western world, from Australia to Germany to the United States, they train the school children to tattle on their parents, to write reports about their parents' carbon footprint. This is in the news like they're heroes. New York Times, London Guardian. And then they write reports on mommy and daddy, and the school gives them fake tickets to go home and write citations to mommy and daddy, teaching them how to be thought police. Just like you train a dog to be an attack dog on a dummy to really rip people's throats out later. And then now they've announced, oh, our children spies as young as seven. In fact, Google that. Children as young as seven to spy on parents and neighbors. It's neighbors. And then it's, oh, by the way, we're going to train you with guns, and we're going to train you to be citizens police with little tasers and to go out against the public. I mean, this is how they, oh, and the New York Times said, oh, look at the 8-year-old. She's bossing her mother around saying no hot bath. It's a bad carbon footprint. And they're not saying this is Stasi or East Germany or 1984 or Brave New World. They're saying, oh, it's so good in the New York Times. There it is. Town halls hire citizen snoopers as young as seven to spy on neighbors and report wrongs. Print that for me again, too. I mean, I see dozens of these every week. And so now San Francisco to impose fines for tossing food scraps, mandatory composting. Suddenly, I'm very tired, folks. Mandatory composting, part of city's plan to eliminate landfill waste by 2020. See, and it's always for a good reason. Oh, they're going to be looking in your trash, and then it's going to be too expensive, so neighbors are doing it. They already started that in the U.S. It's all the same social engineering with the same names. It's just different countries are more advanced than others in the police state. We're more advanced than England in some ways. They're more advanced than us in some ways. They've already got the satellite tracker boxes going in the cars, attacks them by the mile. They're just now introducing it here. But this is the control grid, and this is hellish. So don't say you weren't warned, everybody out there watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to go to break, and then we're going to go directly to your calls when we come back. And I really want to hear, because I can't think of all the big stories we broke and all the success we've had, the Liberty Movement, period, Ron Paul. Again, we need to realize we can win the fight against the New World Order, but it's not going to be instant gratification like pulling up to McDonald's and in 60 seconds getting the cheeseburger. Anything really worth something takes time. Look at how 20, 30 million, whatever it was spent on Ron Paul. People donated. Now everybody knows about the Federal Reserve. Now everybody heard him talk about how the bankers are criminal and offshore. Now the system's in big trouble, and we're going to be able to audit that Fed. See what's starting to happen? And the naysayers from government and just organically who are mentally ill are saying, no, 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 it's bad to audit it. It's a setup to create something new. They're already trying that anyways. The Federal Reserve's connected to the big global banks. It is the big global banks. We're going to continue to fight and be successful because of you. The last 2 days, and I again really want to thank the great job they've done with the second annual Money Bomb. I want to thank the listeners last year that had the idea to have a Money Bomb. It really has helped us grow, but now we're a bit dependent on it, but you've come through, and again, God bless you. And no matter what comes of all this, we can at least say we tried and did our best to fight the tyranny. But more and more, we are seeing the globalists get into trouble. And we're seeing calls in Europe now to audit their central banks. And all over the planet, people are learning about the private central banks and the fraud of fractional reserve banking and these shysters. And auditing them will only bring them down. And it will only discredit the fact that it's only an arm of the international system. That way they can't pose as saviors in the crisis they've created and set up the new bank of the world and all these systems that they've already set up, but they're trying to now roll out and implement with their carbon taxes, micromanaging every facet of our lives and controlling currency rates and interest rates globally. They can have one global rate or have regionals and play them off against each other. Think of the insider trading power that that gives them. Just incredible. Okay, I want to go to your calls on a host of issues. Jason Burmess is coming up. Be sure and stay tuned for that. But I just wanted to add here with the Money Bomb that my crew is going to leave in the next hour. We got two people in there to answer the phones. A lot of people said, wait till Friday. So if you want to donate and be part of this second annual Money Bomb, $5, $10, $100, whatever, please go to Infowars.com, link through to InfowarsMoneyBomb.com. Or you can simply call toll-free, and there's two people in there sitting there right now ready to take your pledge or donation, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244 to continue our operation if you think it's important and to expand it. 888-201-2244. Unlike the federal government, we can't come with SWAT teams and force you to send us money to push our political ideas. If you agree with us and want more people to hear them and see us expand together, then 888-201-2244. Last time for the evening, here is the number. I don't know, Burmese may give it out later, but nobody will be up there to answer it. 888-201-2244. And there'll be some folks here in the middle of the day tomorrow as well. 888-201-2244. That's another reason we've got to grow. Our numbers are so few here that when we do need to pull double time, people get burned out in a day or two because there's just so few people. 888-201-2244 or InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And again, I just can't thank you enough. Those out there that have bought the books, the videos, supported the sponsors, supported our local affiliates, all of it, you've made it possible. So thank you. Okay, let's go to the calls here. Let's talk to Howard in Philadelphia. Howard, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
You know, I'm thrilled to be on the air with you. I thought I was really calling Burmese. And I disagree with two things that both you and Jason do. I support you and I like you, Alex, but I want you to be more, even more concise with your language. I'll give you an example. I have heard so many times you say, we have a Second Amendment right to do something. And I know it may sound nitpicky, but I'm going to tell you now, we don't have a Second Amendment right.
No, it only points out our already inalienable rights that exist as free, sentient beings to defend ourselves.
Correct. But here's my
thing. Well, let me just stop you. It's easy, and I'm not criticizing you. It's easy, and I'm sure you've done a lot in your life and fought the New World Order. I'm saying when you're on the air and doing stuff and things are happening, I say all the time, we invaded Iraq. We didn't invade Iraq. The globalists who've hijacked our nation did, with a bunch of brainwashed mercenaries who mean well, a lot of them, but don't know what they're part of. And so that's what a volunteer military is. It's mercenary. So, you know, this is serious business. I know I semantically don't have all the answers. Listen, because I work too much. Go ahead.
I know it's serious. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you familiar with Dr. Eugene Schroeder?
Yes, from Colorado.
Yes.
I interviewed him about 10 years ago. I need to get Dr. Eugene Schroeder back on. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to see you get him back on. I'm going to tell you exactly why. While we talk about the New World Order and everything they're doing, the reason that they have been able to grease these things through the skids in this country is because the country is turned upside down. We don't have courts that protect our rights. We have courts that usurp our rights. We are running under emergency powers. I have been doing this since the 90s, and I think that's probably when you started into this.
Yeah, I know. The War Powers Act of 33 just reauthorized what happened after the Civil War, and we do cover it. It's all a fraud. But remember, a lot of these Patriot shows get off into the esoteric and things, and we do that sometimes. It's just that I'm talking to a wide, broad audience saying they're going to be spying on your trash and they're training your kids to spy on you. Here they are admitting it in the news. I mean, I'm just putting out the basic message. The banks are ripping you off. They're running scams. But we are going to do more shows. I mean, I've had Red Beckman. I've had Schroeder on.
Hold on a second. I agree with you. It is esoteric, but it's important that people understand because people are under the delusion that they can go into the court system and then they can affirm their rights. When they walk into a court, they have no rights. I've heard people call you up and talk to you about the flag, the gold fringe on the flag, and I'm not going to say you've given them short shrift because it's a very difficult concept to explain.
Well, listen, I got to move on, but I appreciate your call. Also, I don't get into all that because though there's truth in there in the Patriot mythology, there's also a coterie of scam artists and frauds. I mean, so many of the leaders of the Patriot mythology, I consider naming them, I found out over the years would tell people sign up trust with their houses with them and they take their house. And so I don't have people on air that I know. It's like steering nice families into the rocks. And society's so corrupt, a lot of times we have people on and find out later they're horrible. I mean, it's a great moral responsibility. And, yeah, gold fringe flag does, you know, under military law and under U.S. code, mean admiralty. And I've seen federal court documents where they take people's land and say you're under admiralty and maritime jurisdiction. And it's all real, and we do talk about it, and we do have guests on. But we do a wide spectrum of issues. But you had 5 minutes, and we appreciate you calling. Let's talk to Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're on the air.
Good evening, Alex. How are you doing, sir?
Good, buddy.
Alex, I just want to congratulate you and really all of us on the success of this current money war or money war.
It is a money war. It is a money war. I should start a website called Money Wars.
Really?
Buy that URL quick. Get it. Buy Money Wars right now.
Okay.
I'm going to tell my guys before somebody else does. Go ahead.
It's an idea for you. Alex, it looks like the funds raised in the current Infowar money bomb will be used for infrastructure and personnel expansion predominantly. Are there other efforts in the Infowar that you have in mind which you would pursue if you had the funds at this time? And that's a question, and I want to make a short statement, and that's all I've got. But I was hoping in the last money bomb, Alex, as well as this one, that such friends of yours and people who have at least moderately deep pockets would have gotten together perhaps conglomerately and put together $1 million or $500,000 for you. And I just wish that they would step up to the plate because really proportionately speaking, I think people are giving what they have that they can spare. And I think some of the people...
Well, maybe people have, but they want it to be private.
I see.
Over $300,000 bandwidth bill a year. That's not getting paid for with DVD sales and radio sponsors. And believe me, the few big Hollywood people I know and then some of the mid-sized people, I don't call them up and ask them for money. Listeners are always saying money bomb, money bomb. Then we get 10 bucks from 4,000 or 5,000 people. You know, that really helps us. Well, go ahead and make your statement, and then I need to answer the first part of your question.
Okay, well, please go ahead and do that, Alex, because
let me try to explain this, okay? It's one thing to imagine and dream all this stuff, but I don't just get a building and hire people. I've got to get them, train them. This is specific work. I've got to make sure they understand it. I've got to find the people, and as I get more film editors and people, that means I have to be sitting there writing up the film, telling them where to go, writing the questions. When I send people somewhere to go interview somebody, I have to spend hours writing the questions I want them asked, or I've got to fly there. I'm not bitching. This is great. To me, though, doing a money bomb or expanding is actually a royal pain in the ass, but I'm doing it because even though it intensifies the amount of danger I'm in, because I know it's up to us to do it or who else is, but it's up to everybody else to do it. I've noticed with about 98% of people who are great folks out there, they spend all their time dreaming and imagining these big things they're going to build and all these complexities and committee meetings arguing about the structure they're going to create instead of ever just doing the basics. But it took me a year to come in here, set all this up, do this, and then get ready for the next phase. And so it takes time. The New World Order wasn't built overnight. We're not going to defeat it overnight. But I'm doing the best I can. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Alex, I'd like to commend Darryl Rundis for coming in and helping like he did. And just God bless him and God bless you and the Infowar crew. And as Tiny Tim said, God bless us all, my friend.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Hey, you too, buddy. Let's talk to Brian in Nevada. Brian, go ahead.
How's it going?
Good, sir.
I too, was also expecting Jason Burmis, so this is definitely an honor to speak to you.
Oh, come on. I'm just an average guy. It's another example of what we can all do by taking action, but go ahead.
But anyway, earlier today, I had emailed Jason with this new bill that I had discovered, and I was hoping he knew about it more than what I
did. What is the bill?
It's H.R. 2667. It's titled Early Support for Parents Act. Let me read it to you. To amend Part B of Title IV of the Social Security Act to provide grants to states to establish or expand quality programs.
Yes, I am aware of it. It's Head Start, which is CPS visits and taking over the kids and mobile medical vans right down to newborn babies and basically forcing people in so that you don't have any time with your child before they're thrown into pits of children with snot running out their noses on Prozac and Ritalin.
Right. I was curious if he was aware of it, because I was really wondering.
Yes, I was aware of it and saw a brief write-up on it saying it's police state. I haven't had a chance to scan at all. Tell us what you found in the bill.
Well, so far it's $2.5 billion mandatory funding for these home visitations, and of course they label it with voluntary allowing these visitations.
Yeah, but it's not. But if you're in Head Start, you get three CPS visits a year. Yeah, listen, do me a favor. I can't wait till Paul Watson's back. He was on vacation for a week and a half. Send it to Steve Watson. Send it to Kurt at InfoWars.com. Send it to Aaron with two A's at InfoWars.com with those subsections. The headline should be $2.5 billion in new bill to send for CPS visits to parents' homes. And, yes, this is the total social worker grid with the tattletale social workers for the green revolution, the carbon tax, the forced CPS visits for everybody, just the anti-terror local tattletale squads, the Boy Scouts being trained to take on the veterans, New York Times. I mean, it is so hellish that I can't even believe it's happening, but it is. As the economy implodes, they take the tens of trillions they steal to institutionalize everybody. Tell me about more of the subsections. What subsection was that of H.R. 2667?
Well, it was a subsection. One of the subsections is, let's see, hold on.
What section is that?
That's the first section, Section A.
All right, let's pull it up.
The second one.
There it is. Oh, my God.
The second one is.
See, that's their attempt. They're moving at us at light speed, hitting us from every angle right now. I mean, actually, I get nauseous when I hear this. Go ahead.
Section 440, Part A, Purpose. The purpose of this section is to improve the well-being and development of children by enabling the establishment and expansion of quality programs providing voluntary home visitation for families with young children and families expecting children.
And then they ask, why aren't you asking us to visit? Now when you go to the health department, the feds pay. When you go to the hospital, it's really the health department. They're entering all your stuff into a database. It's all scientific, taking over the family, breaking down society, shipping the jobs overseas, getting us dependent. And they're already doing that in Austin, in Texas. They have the bill that's on the governor's desk to openly seize your kids without any order, any warrant. Just end of everything. Abu Ghraib-type powers, Camp X-ray-type snatch-and-grab powers to the pot-bellied pedophile CPS workers. I mean, this is hell. This is tyranny being released.
I don't think people understand how big this really is, though, because sure they throw it at you under the umbrella of voluntary.
It's just like vaccines are voluntary, but they're not.
Right.
They come and threaten you. The truth is, sir, they're already doing what you're saying, but now they're going nationwide. They grab 1,400,000. What's it been like when they grab 10 million? What's it going to be like when we have 50 million in prison, not 7 million in the system? You know, it's more and more evil. I mean, guys in black uniforms in every corner, body scanners everywhere, barbed wire, German shepherds. I mean, oh, it's freedom, land of free, home of brave.
Yeah, it's bigger than people think because, okay, it starts out when your kid's born or before it's born. They actually start coming into your home.
No, everybody already gets a CPS visit in many states when you have a baby.
But then imagine your child turns 2 years old and then all of a sudden, oh, wow, you have a gun in your house? Well, you know, Your child could get a hold of this gun.
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop for 5 years if doctors take Medicare and Medicaid. By law, they're told, it's all regulatory, that they have to ask if you have a gun. And then adults say, yes, I have a gun. And they say, I'm not going to treat you because you own a gun. See, it's this moral pressure. You know, put the yellow stars on ourselves. We're the bad ones. No, it's happening. It's happening.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. We're going to have to take your child because that your household is not safe because you own weapons.
Sir, I have the CPS manuals in Texas. It says raising your voice. They take them to their government rape rooms.
Yep.
Give me some more.
It's insanity.
Crazy like a fox, method to the madness. Tell me more subsections.
Well, they pretty much all say the same thing. That's the problem.
Well, here's what I need, and I know we're not doing this all the time. What's the website I'm supposed to give out for people that want to – hold on, just stop for a second. I know Thomas at OLC.gov. I wasn't talking to you. Hold on, just give me just a sec. Just give me just a second. What is the email address? Because I notice this isn't happening because we don't have the personnel. Badass stories are getting written every day, and people are telling me they're not getting missed, not getting posted. Listeners can write a blurb. Put the subsections. My writers can check it and get it posted and warn people because nobody will know about this if we don't do it. Now, what is the email? Or is any? I think this is the issue. Is anybody even checking the email of all these show articles that people are writing about this stuff? Show tips at Infowars.com. Yeah, no, that's tips. What's the one about articles listeners are writing? See, that's the problem. We launch these and nobody communicates. I don't even want to hire more people. I have to tell them what to do. I hate this. I just want to run to the mountains, man. Hey, listen, listen, I appreciate your call. We'll struggle. I can't get an answer. I'm not being told. I appreciate your call. See, I can't even be told what the email is. Guys, what is the email? Because I'm starting to panic thinking about these bastards doing this to us. And they just incrementally just keep turning the heat up on us. And then he brings up a point, like 1,000 other pieces of data pop in my head with the grid they're setting up and just everything that's happening, and it just makes my blood boil. More calls straight ahead. AZ and Sean and others, stay with us. Kyle, Jason Burmis is coming up in the second and third hours. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Cubicle wall on the fabric, ruined cubicle, but that's how we roll. But it doesn't matter. It'll be there forever now. Remind us to, when we launch something, we're going to do it. It says writers at Infowars.com. Writers at Infowars.com for people that want to submit things. And we still got to scan over it and double check the subsections. But so, you know, cause we get all these tips and then forget it. And the dog's barking or the baby's crying or, you know, power goes off or we're paying bills, you know, all the crap. But if people will just write the articles, craft them, just have the facts, then we can take care of it. Writers at Infowars.com will be the new address, but only for people that have written articles. You guys like that in there? Hey, Matt, you like the new decoration there on the cubicle? You like that? I'm going to start everything. Actually, folks, you know what happens to me? I'm going to be... Writers at Infowars.com. You like that with the Sharpie indelible marker? A little something for you there? Anyways, I'm a primitive person. We all are on this planet. And I get attacked. I see enemies. I know they're criminals. I know they're enslavers. I know it's our own species setting up a predatory system because we are predators. But we're a group of humans engaging in predator activity against the people. And it makes my heart beat fast. It upsets me. When he was saying the subsections of the bill, and I was reading them as he said it, I began to have adrenaline rushes. I began to picture the pedophiles cornering families and grabbing their kids. I know they do. I want justice. I'm pissed. And I just began thinking, my God, I'll never get the subsections. I'll never mark it down. I'll never get an article written. I don't have the writers. But we did that today. I can get a few in-office editors, is really what they are, to collate and put the stuff together and write a few articles a day. And post them and put them in good sections and make sure we get them out. And then you can get the articles and get them out to everybody. But the reason I've been successful at fighting the New World Order is that I have so much passion, but it's too much passion. I mean, I just can't stand the abuse of the people. I can't stand the tyranny anymore, ladies and gentlemen. And I can't stand that we're such nice guys, that we put up with all this crap. We got to get more aggressive. That's why I'm glad we had the money bomb. I'm glad you gave. And I'm glad, you know, that resistance is not futile. Resistance is fertile. And I just salute you all. And we're going to expose these CPS scum. You read the official textbooks, the official textbooks. And we, on the PrisonPlanet.com forum, people didn't believe me, listeners. So the forum guys put hundreds of textbooks and articles where they call the family animals and a disease and mentally ill that has to be eradicated. And that's what this is. This is the takeover to what's left of the family. They've already destroyed our economy, broke the families up, made us illegitimate, destroyed the great Western society. And now they're moving in to mop us up with black ops, with little dumbed down, almost biological robot, little CPS workers and police all on petty power trips. They're just as dumb as everybody else. And I see the sharks circling us and grabbing our young and dragging our young off into the dark. And I just, and the slaves are all busy watching TV and laughing at me. And I'm like, look, another one of us just got dragged off by them. If we get together, we can kick their butt. But as things get worse and worse, people are going to wake up and stand up. The globalists, though, wouldn't be moving with all this tyranny if they didn't think people were going to lay down. So they've decided they think they can get away with it. And I hope to God that's not the case, because this is hardcore disgusting. But it's H.R. 2667, and I just don't have the people. I got Aaron. He's been up here to late last night, early this morning. I got Jason Douglas. I got Kurt Nemo and Steve Watson. Paul's out of town. And I guess you'll never see it anywhere else, H.R. 2667. So feds will probably pass it, and the CPS will be at your door in the next year trying to take your kids. Everybody's going to get the visit. And that's just another thing. I can't even keep track of it. Just stacks of evil and corruption everywhere. Just exploding as the tyranny pours in on all sides. I'm sick of this crap. This is evil. Can't people recognize training seven-year-olds to tattle on their parents for everything and spy on them? It's wrong. This is bull, and I'm sick of it. Jason's coming up with a big guest. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for me. This is the last day of the Money Bomb. InfoWars.com, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Stay with us.
And I can't help but wonder, no Willie McBride, do all those who lie here know why they die? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing and dying, it was all done in vain. Oh, Willie McBride, it all happened again. And again, and again, and again.
We are back. Of the Money Bomb, the end, the last 2 hours. Remember, you can give at 1-888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. We are joined by Betty Henderson of SSRIStories.com. How are you tonight, Betty? Do we have her yet? Oh, are you there?
Yes.
I'm
can
sorry.
You hear me?
They just had to hit a button. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you tell people what you dedicate the website to and how you got involved in the subject matter?
Well, SSRIStories.com deals with the Prozac-type drugs. You know, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, Celexa, Luvox, Lexapro. There's a bunch of them. They're called the Prozac-type drugs. They're SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and they're antidepressants, and very millions of people are on them. And they're causing a lot of problems for many people. Now, first of all, I want to say if you're taking one of these, you think you're doing okay, then don't ever go off of it. I mean, you know, in the sense that withdrawal is often more dangerous than staying on the medication. It can cause withdrawal mania, and you could go into some kind of suicide or homicidal action, you know, so you have to be very cautious about that. But we just knew too many people that were injured by these drugs, and so I decided to start this website. And it consists of 3,121 cases that were reported in the media. These aren't personal stories. Mm-hmm. That were reported in newspapers and occasionally journal articles about people who did something terrible on an SSRI, usually violence or a suicide or some kind of criminal activity like arson or, you know, different things.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into those stories, why don't you tell people, explain to people, what is a reuptake inhibitor?
Well, what it does is there's a neurotransmitter in the brain called serotonin, and the Prozac drug-type drug will stop the uptake of serotonin into the synapse so that there consequently is more serotonin floating around in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it inhibits it. That's the way it works.
Now, as I understand it, drugs like Prozac and whatnot, their main ingredient is fluoride. Is that true?
Well, yes. I don't know if it's their main ingredient, but it's a big part of their ingredient, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's just unbelievable to me that they put fluoride in antidepressants, and then they also put it in the water supply, in the toothpaste, in now, I mean, tons of food products. I think this is kind of getting out of control, in my opinion. What are some of these horror stories? I mean, you said 3,121 cases. I know we've covered at least, you know, three dozen of them on this program alone in the past 3 or 4 months. But what do you think some of the more drastic cases have been?
Well, of course, at the top of the page, after you go into the cover page for SSRIStories.com, and you read the cover page, you can click into the index, and at the top are the 48 school sheets. You see, we didn't have school shootings much, you know, before Prozac was introduced in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it makes people become manic and psychotic. And, I mean, I'm not just making this up. This is actually in the physician's desk reference that you can become psychotic on these drugs. These are some of the reactions that you can have to the drugs. In fact, the FDA even issued a public health advisory in March 22, 2004, I think, that they were even concerned. And on it, they talk about how people have more agitation, more anxiety, more panic attacks because of the drugs. Because of these SSRIs, they have insomnia and irritability and hostility, and they're impulsive. They have severe restlessness. And then hypomania and mania have been reported in adults and pediatric patients.
On the other side, I want to talk about more of these side effects and why the FDA even allows these drugs on the market if all these side effects are just out in the open. It's the InfoWarrior.
How would you like to cook?
Betty Henderson of SSRIstories.com. And we were talking about all the side effects that the FDA actually acknowledges of these serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And it seems to me that they want a docile populace. When you see these commercials, they often have a broad advertisement. In other words, they say, are you tired? Are you depressed? Are you not feeling well? They really try to target a large audience. And on top of that, they really distribute this to children. And as you were, you know, speaking about, we didn't have these school shootings beforehand. So I kind of want to talk about the rest of these side effects and how this is a for-profit business.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You wanted to talk about the side effects?
Yeah, well, the side effects and then how this is a for-profit business, how it only really helps them to sell this to as many people as possible.
Okay. Antidepressants actually were first invented around like 1959, 1961, you know,
mm-hmm.
And they noticed then, as early as the late 50s, that they had the potential to induce mania and psychosis. And so doctors were always careful, and the scientists, you know, were careful. This was when our country was a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
about giving people these drugs. You know, they were usually given in hospitals or, you know, not as much, okay? But then in 1988, Eli Lilly invented Prozac and marketed it, and they did. It was a sort of a marketing job, and of course, the lobbyists, you know, were sort of paid off, I think, in Washington, D.C., and it was hailed as a miracle drug, which of course it is not. And also, they were much more powerful in the sense of the serotonin reuptake inhibitor action of it than the older antidepressants, and so they were causing side effects that they hadn't really actually seen that much with the older antidepressants, although they had seen some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, some of the antidepressants are like hallucinations, abnormal thinking. This is all in the physician's desk reference. I'm not making this up. You can go to the PDR and look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Personality disorder, amnesia, manic reaction. And you probably don't know what a manic reaction is. I mean, there's different kinds. There's like kleptomania. It can cause you to want to steal. Pyromania, setting arson, setting fires. Dipsomania, that means that you have a craving for alcohol. Many people who start on these SSRIs, like Prozac and Paxil, Zoloft, end up becoming alcoholics, and they don't know why. They have no clue. These people have no clue. It makes you sometimes emotionally unstable, and then you abuse alcohol. Also, hostility is listed in there, and these are not rare reactions. They're listed as either frequent or infrequent. Like confusion is listed as frequent. So is mm-hmm. sleep disorders. So is amnesia, listed as infrequent. Frequent. And then paranoid reaction is infrequent but not rare. I mean, these are just a kind of unbelievable thing. Then psychosis is not listed as rare. It's listed as infrequent. But, of course, this was done during the clinical trials when they did not let anybody in who was suicidal or, you know, kind of goofy, you know what I mean, in
mm-hmm.
the sense that. So these people, they were just really people who were moderately depressed. That was most of what the clinical trial was, either mildly to moderately depressed or stressed or something. And they had psychosis. They also caused agitation that is listed as frequent in the physician's desk reference and in the insert to the drug.
Mm-hmm.
They cause abnormal dreams. They can suppress compress your REM sleep and then allow your muscles in your body to move when they're ordinarily, you know, in REM sleep, when you're dreaming, you're paralyzed. But with these drugs, you can actually move. So you can get up and work out, act out your worst nightmares. It's just, you know, kind of
unbelievable. I've been up late. You know, I do this show till midnight, then I go home. I've been seeing a lot of commercials for Ambien CR. And
now,
always,
Ambien is not an SSRI.
Mm-hmm.
It is a benzodiazepine, and they have been known to cause these kind of reactions, too, not so much the mania as they have caused the sleep disorders.
So what is the difference between the two? Because I see a lot of the same side effects that we're talking about in the advertisement. They say hallucinations, sleepwalking, sleep driving, depression.
The main difference is that the SSRIs are more deadly and that they can cause you to murder people.
Really?
Because you become manic. I don't know if you know what a maniac is, do you?
Well, you know? I know what manic is, and I guess I've encountered a few maniacs in my day.
Well, I mean, we used to talk about maniacs back in the olden days, because I'm getting kind of old now, you know, and everybody kind of, you know, would shudder, you know, like what a maniac was. And
yeah,
like Xanax, they can cause sometimes a paradoxical reaction instead of, like, being more sleepy, you get more agitated and things like that. But they weren't widely known for these mass murders.
So let's talk about some of these mass murders. Let's talk about some of these school shootings. You say you have over 3,000 stories on your website related to SSRI violence and aggression. Let's talk about some of the more extreme cases.
Oh, okay. Well, of course, Columbine comes to mind first. Mm-hmm. You know, Eric Harris.
Yeah, and Dylan Klebold.
Yes. Dylan Klebold, we never knew what he was on because his records were sealed. So,
yeah, a lot of it's still classified to this day. People don't understand that the records aren't out there. And the mainstream media, and I think it was just the 10th anniversary, really tried to gloss over a lot of the things that had come out in the past and said that they weren't really depressed and they weren't really taking these drugs. I saw it in USA Today.
Well, no, Eric Harris was taking the drug and it was known that he was taking the drug. I don't know why USA Today said that, but it was, you know, untrue. He was, okay, here it is. But what happened to Eric Harris was he started taking Zoloft, which is an SSRI antidepressant, and he didn't feel well on it. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor took him off of it. And he came back 3 or 4 weeks later. This is in the Denver Post, by the way. This was in the Denver Post, November 5th, 2002. Okay, so, I mean, the article is up there. Of course, also, it's an SSRI story, and you can read it, go into the index, and it's about the 6th story now. And so he started him on the SSRI Luvox. The doctor started Eric Harris on Luvox. And three experts, MDs, testified that it was a sign that Eric Harris was, and I have to explain all this some other time in a little bit, was bipolar instead of depressed. And so that's why he felt better when he went off the Zoloft and why he became such a maniac when he got on the Luvox. So, I mean, I know there was a book written saying he was a psychopath and all that, but this really wasn't true.
Mm-hmm. Betty, could you just speak up? I'm having a kind of trouble
hearing. Oh, are you having trouble hearing me?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yes, I will speak up. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So you're telling me that Eric Harris was not depressed. He had bipolar disorder.
Well, that's what they call it. But see, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing is they're giving all these people antidepressants, and then when they go insane on the drugs, instead of taking them off the drugs and saying you had a bad reaction to the drug, you know, to the SSRI.
Yes.
No, instead they're saying, oh, you were bipolar. We made a mistake. We thought you were depressed. You were bipolar. Well, see, I don't know how old you are, but 25 years ago, bipolar illness, which is also known as manic depression, was an extremely rare illness. Less than 1% of the population had it. Today, because of the SSRIs and everybody taking them, massive amounts, 30 to 40, 50 million people in the United States have taken them, we have close to 6% of the population now diagnosed as either bipolar 1, manic depressive 1, or bipolar 2, and now they might even add bipolar 3. We have all these people diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. They took like Prozac or Zoloft or Cymbalta or Lexapro, and they got worse. And so people were saying, well, they went through the war. You know, they were soldiers, so they have post-traumatic stress disorder. And so it's just making the situation worse. What I mean is it's really kind of a national tragedy of immense proportions in the sense that we never had these school shootings before. We have a lot of workplace violence. I don't know if you remember Michael McDermott's Edgewater Technology, where he went in and shot seven people dead.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay, he was on a triple dose of Prozac.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I've noticed is they're saying if their pills don't work.
Remember when Lockheed Martin lost six people in the workplace violence?
No, I missed that one.
Okay, he was on Zoloft, that fella.
Well, I've noticed they want to, now instead of saying, oh, we did something wrong, they actually want to put people on more drugs. I've seen commercials for this drug called Abilify. If you're on, I think, Zoloft or Lexapro or Paxil.
Yeah, now Abilify is an antipsychotic. And let me explain what this is all about.
Okay.
Okay, they invented antipsychotics. The first one was called Thorazine, you know, back in the 50s.
Yep.
And those were the older antipsychotics. Okay, then they came out with the new antipsychotics in about 1991 or 2. And these antipsychotics were different, and then they're half antidepressant and half antipsychotic. So it's just a real tragic. But anyway, the fact that they're half antidepressant means that the manufacturers of these new antipsychotics want to also advertise them as being an antidepressant. So they are trying to get approval from the FDA for it. You know, like Abilify is what they call an add-on. In other words, the ad will say, well, if your antidepressant isn't working or isn't doing what you want it to do, add on Abilify, you know. Of course, what the people don't know is that they're taking an antipsychotic, which is actually a very powerful drug that can cause, you know, diabetes and weight gain and all kinds of. So anyway, so then they take a mood stabilizer and an antipsychotic, and usually a benzodiazepine, and they stay on their antidepressant. They end up in 5, 6, 7 drugs, which, you know, is going to shorten your life. You can't stand that many drugs, especially if you start out when you're young.
It eats away your organs, doesn't it? I mean, I've heard people having, like, liver problems or kidney problems if they're on too many drugs. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I hate to say this because I don't want people to get worried. Mm-hmm. But are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. I could hear some music in the background.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it on the other side. We only got about 10 seconds left in this segment. But let's talk about some of those things. I mean, liver damage, kidney damage, shortened lifespan. Is that what you really want? Do you want to get on these drugs? It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Back after this. With Jason Burmis, joined by Betty Henderson of SSRIStories.com. And we were talking about the long-term side effects of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Forget about, you know, the fact that you might go psychopathic or sociopathic or just go insane, do something violent, commit one of those acts. If you're able to get over that, what are some of the long-term side effects of these drugs?
Well, the SSRIs themselves are, of course, they cause hypertension as opposed to this frequent, you know, in the physician's desk reference. Mm-hmm. So, of course, when you have high blood pressure, you're not going to, you know, do quite as well. They also can cause hemorrhages in your body, which is not good, of course, just bleeding. And then they can cause heart attacks. That is listed as infrequent, but still it's not listed as rare, heart attacks. People that take antidepressants, they don't live as long. I mean, it's beginning to come out, especially. Usually after they can't take an antidepressant too long because everybody gets so agitated. most people do, you know, maybe 2 out of 5 get agitated. And so then they start going on benzodiazepines, and maybe that doesn't work. And so then they get on the antipsychotics, and then they get, so pretty soon they're on 5 or 6 drugs. And then I guess people say they're mentally ill or something. And the next thing you know, their lifespan is 15 to 25 years less than the ordinary American.
15 to 25 years left for taking a cocktail of drugs for a few years.
Well, usually the problem is you can't get off of them. I mean, see, this is what I want to emphasize, is that this withdrawal is extremely difficult and extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. There's people who've been on them who are just, you know, 5 and 6 years back. They're on maybe 6 drugs. And I know a woman who was on 6 drugs, and it took her 6 years to get off of them. But she had to do it that way because when she stopped abruptly, I had convulsions and seizures. And I mean, it's just, you know, unbelievable.
So this is really likening to somebody who, say, a heroin addict trying to kick the habit.
Probably worse.
Wow.
Yeah,
what do you think? What are reported some of the really hardcore drugs that are very tough to get off of?
Well, they're all the SSRIs are hard to get off of, you know. And I can't. Paxil and Effexor seem to be the worst as far as the withdrawal, but they all have bad withdrawal syndrome. And if you're going to try to get off of it, in our cover page it says to go off over a period of a year or longer. And do this under the supervision of a qualified specialist. This is find a doctor who understands withdrawal, who can help you get off. See, a lot of times people say, oh, I'm going to quit taking my Prozac, and then, you know, like a week later or whatever, 2 weeks later, they feel terrible, and they go to the doctor, and he says, well, that's your depression. You know, of course, the problem is sometimes they didn't start with depression, you know. And mm-hmm. Like we had a 15-year-old girl who was given Zoloft for warts, and she killed herself, you know. But of course, there's a black box warning for those 24 years old and under for suicidality. But, okay, what was your question?
Well, we were just talking about, you know, the horrible side effects and how hard they were to kick. And then we were talking about which ones were the toughest to kick. And you said that Paxil seemed to be the worst to kick. And then you started to get into the fact that, you know, a lot of people are committing suicide while they're trying to kick these drugs. My question to you is, you know, as people are kicking these drugs, why are we even giving kids these drugs in the first place? You said a 15-year-old girl. I mean, I would say that's ill-advised to give a 15-year-old girl something with a black box warning that says suicide possible.
Yes, I know. This is what I don't understand what's happened to the physicians in our country, why they're giving out so many medications, but all of America is just so over-medicated. It's just unbelievable.
You know, it really
I mean,
is.
I can understand a medication when you're really sick and you really need it, but people are walking around over the age of 65, that half the people are on 7 or more drugs. Well, once you're on 3 drugs, they say there's a 90% chance that 2 of them are interacting with each other.
Well, it's a $1 billion business. I mean, I would say probably reaching into the trillions almost at this point. And, you know,
it is. And, of course, the advertising, you know, with the media, I mean, this is why, you know, people. They're feeding down the blue or whatever, and they see an ad, they'll say, oh, this will pick you up. So they go to the doctor, and they get one of those, and then it gives them agitation, so they go back to the doctor, and he gives them a benzodiazepine or Boost Bar or something, and so they've got another drug for the agitation. You know, it just adds one drug after the other.
In your opinion, what do you think the most hardcore of these serotonin reuptake inhibitors are? In other words, which one do you see the most problems with? Which one do you see the most mainstream news stories that people
well, of
go
course,
off the handle?
That because it's been out the longest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you go into SSRI stories, a lot of the, especially the early cases, are Prozac because it was the first one and it was out there for a long time. Then the next would be like Zoloft came out next, and then Paxil. So they're all bad.
So it's almost like it's just based on, you know, how long they've been around because they all seem to have the same effects. We'll be back after this with Betty Henderson. SSRIstories.com is the website. The Info Warrior, 9 to midnight, weeknights here at GCN and PrisonPlanet.tv. Of SSRIstories.com, and we were discussing really which of these serotonin reuptake inhibitors were the worst, but she just replied, well, they're all really bad, and the only reason that one gets more play than the other is because it's been around longer. Why are we drugging our children with these? What's the youngest case you've seen of a tragedy when someone was put on an antidepressant?
Oh, let's see. I think there was a 7-year-old boy just recently. He was on a combination of Prozac and Zyprexa. He hung himself in Florida.
A seven-year-old hung himself.
Seven-year-old, yes.
That is unbelievable to me. I mean, why
are
you putting...
considering that the FDA put a black box warning for suicidality for children in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are the physicians thinking?
Well, they're thinking about profits. Aren't these guys mostly paid off? Don't they get more money every time they get you to get on a drug? Isn't that what this is all about, money?
Oh, yeah. It's all about greed, of course.
I mean, how do they live with themselves when you're a doctor and you're prescribing a seven-year-old a serotonin reuptake inhibitor and he takes his own life? I mean, he's a seven-year-old. He's not supposed to be perfect. Well, what are the parents thinking?
This child did happen to be in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
But
even worse.
I don't know. Here in Texas, 68% of the children in foster care are either on antidepressants, antipsychotics, or, you know, one of those.
Now, who provides the funding for that? Is that taxpayer dollars, basically?
Yeah, there's a big argument going on in Texas about that right now because it's taxpayer dollars. But the poor little children, they're the
ones. Yeah, exactly. It feels like they're an experiment for these people to, again, profit on their misery.
68%. They're kind of a guinea pig, I'll tell you. I don't know why people don't do more research on what's going on with these, but who would fund it? Who can fund research on, like, why these drugs are causing people to kill?
Mm-hmm. Who's going to give you access to that? I mean, you'd have to do independent research, and that you're talking multi-millions, tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to be in the best interest of these big corporate entities. I mean, you see these commercials on all the major networks all the time, whether it be during your favorite sitcom or the evening news, sports. They're all over the place. They seem like they're literally as frequent as, you know, fashion commercials, clothing commercials, car commercials, and now it's drug commercials.
They're all over. And this is on the cover page of SSRI Stories. The Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons had an article by Joel Kaufman, PhD. He's a professor of chemistry emeritus at the University of Sciences in Philadelphia. And here's what he said about SSRI Stories. He says, since no clinical trial involving multiple homicides is ever likely to be run, no firmer evidence than SSRI Stories is ever likely to be found.
That's unbelievable. I mean, so you can have 3,000-plus articles where these adverse effects are apparent to anybody with half a brain, but your evidence isn't good enough.
I think that we need some kind of epidemiological study on these 3,120 cases, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some graduate student could do a PhD on it or something, find out what's going on. I see a pattern here. The pattern I see a lot is people become, their thinking becomes so abnormal, they begin to believe like things like they go to the doctor because they have stress or they're, you know, not feeling good or something sad happened, like their mother just died or something, and you know they're not feeling good. And then after they get on the SSRI, they start thinking that they're terminally ill. So they kill themselves.
There was
a case one time of a woman who thought her whole family, her husband and two kids and herself, that they were all terminally ill. So in the middle of the night, she got up and she went through the house and she shot everyone dead and shot herself dead, left it in a suicide note.
Just incredible. And I think one of the reasons that you're seeing this more pervasive in society is because it's the why me society. Everybody's always crying. Listen. Not every day of your life is going to be, you know, roses, sunshine, and happiness. There are going to be rough times, and people are so quick to go and see a doctor. Oh, I haven't felt good this week, or I really feel bad. I can't get my life together.
Yes, and there was a study out of Duke University replicated in Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas that showed that if you exercised 30 to 35 minutes 3 to 4 times a week, you did better than the people in Zoloft. In fact, after a year, if you kept this up, you were less likely to relapse into sadness and more likely to feel better. Now, and of course, who knows about that? I mean, why would anybody promote exercise? Who's going to, you know, pay for that? Who's going to advertise on the TV, hey, get out there and exercise? You know?
Most people want the easy fix anyway. They don't understand that a lot of it is their own self-image. They don't feel good about themselves because they're not healthy. They're not getting enough exercise. They're not eating right. They're not getting enough sunlight. Some of the basic things out there to stay, you know, happy, to stay,
right,
you know, healthy. Instead, they want this quick fix because the TV told them if they take a pill, they're going to do much better. But it just blows my mind when the commercial is 45 seconds, and the first 15 seconds is advertising the drug, but then the next 25 seconds is all the adverse side effects, so they can wrap it up in the last 5 seconds where you can buy it, and people buy it.
Oh, yeah, they do, and I don't really understand why they're not that concerned about the side effects, but people do trust their physicians, and I think the physicians have been kind of fooled by the pharmaceutical companies. So many of those stories that have been written about the glories of Prozac were ghostwritten by the pharmaceutical company themselves, and the clinical trials were really kind of a travesty. I mean, it's just, it's really sad. We never had people getting on so many drugs, you know, especially like these SSRIs, because, okay, women between the ages of 20 and 44, 16% of the women in this country are on these drugs, on these SSRIs. Because that's one out of, about 17 people or something. 16%, that's about one out of seven.
Yeah, no, it's almost hip and trendy to be on these drugs. I mean, I remember back being in college and, you know, people would be on these drugs or they wouldn't be on the drugs, but they'd want to purchase them from kids that were on them so they could get a Zoloft or a Paxil and or Ritalin. I'd see all this kind of craziness around me, and it's almost like they're glamorized. You know, one of the other things that is over at your website right now is an article that says as many as half of men taking an antidepressant medication, paroxetine, may have increased sperm DNA fragmentation. What does that exactly mean? Does that mean that, you know, my
right,
child has...
Right, that's men who take, well, that's Paxil, but this includes all the SSRIs. If you read the full article,
mm-hmm.
There's 58 journal articles up there. Men who take SSRIs are less fertile, about have half the fertility rate. You know, it does something, it fragments their sperm.
Now, does this also increase the chance that, you know, there might be an abnormality with the pregnancy?
Yes, especially for the women that take it. The fetus can, you know, there's lawsuits going on about the fetus of a woman who took an SSRI during pregnancy, that they had a higher rate of birth defects and so forth and so on, you know.
What kind of those defects are common with these types of drugs?
What kind of birth defects?
Yeah, what are the common ones?
It seems like the heart is affected a lot of the fetus.
So they'll have an irregular heart rate, or it won't be as strong, or it'll be abnormally small, things like that.
Right.
And those are life. Those are lifelong.
They are
life-threatening,
and many of these babies have either had to have, you know, surgery, or they died.
Mm-hmm. So, and even if they live, aren't their lifespans really shortened?
Well, of course, we don't know yet, because not that many years have passed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they do know from looking at the drugs starting from the 50s that the people who have been taking these drugs, their lifespan is shortened. Yes.
Where do you think the turning point for the industry was? Do you think it was really, you know, the mid-90s? That's when they really started advertising on television?
I think it was about 1991 when Newsweek and Time and them had the Prozac capsule on the cover calling it a miracle drug. And they advertised it kind of like it was for people who were not just deeply depressed and in the hospital, but people who were stressed, who had normal everyday sadness. And they said things like, it will make you better than well. Peter Kramer wrote a book called something about listening to Prozac. And he said that, you know, you would feel better than well. And it's just, and so everybody started taking it. I mean, who doesn't want to feel better than well, you know?
Mm-hmm. So Prozac really was the leader in this.
Well, that's why all the other companies jumped in, because Prozac was making the billions for Eli Lilly.
Mm-hmm.
So then Pfizer got in with Zoloft. You know, and then GlaxoSmithKline got in with Paxil, and so on. So then each company, Wyeth got in with Effexor, that was the drug Andrea Yates was taking at the very over the highest dose maximum. It made her psychotic.
When we see this time and time and time again, aren't there a lot of conflicts of interest out there as well? I mean, we talk about these doctors who prescribe it. Aren't these guys also invested in these companies? They show up at these conferences. It's about making profits.
Yeah. Quite a few of them. In fact, some doctor at Emory University was just released, you know, I think he was a 10-year doctor, and he was kicked out because he'd accepted, I don't know how much, $300,000 or $400,000, you know, to fudge something. And that.
So he's literally on the take. He doesn't even get, he's not even just invested in the company. He's taking kickbacks from the company to prescribe this to other people.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
why aren't these stories, you know, on the mainstream media? Why aren't they in the news?
Because the mainstream media is being sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, that's one of their main sources of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
The mainstream media is having trouble surviving.
That's very
and
true.
And so they need the money from the drug companies. Also, too, they're influenced by the physicians. And,
you know,
there's another thing. A woman say that she's taking a Prozac, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she's acting goofy at home. She's threatening to divorce her husband. And just her whole personality has changed. And she goes to the doctor, and he says, how do you feel on the Prozac? And she said, I feel great. I feel wonderful. You know, because it gives you kind of like an exuberant energy, but at the same time, you become very hostile, and you become very impulsive, and a complete personality change.
Well, why don't you think more adults are self-aware about this?
Are self-aware?
Yeah, why do you think it is that somebody gets on a pill and, like you said, they go and because they feel this euphoria at points, they go and they tell their doctor that everything's great. Why aren't they more self-aware that their personality is literally changing in front of their eyes?
That is the main mystery about these drugs. Early on, I was in the Prozac Survivor Support Group, and everybody who ruined their life and then called the Prozac group afterwards, they said we had no idea the drug was doing it. It's very subtle. Very subtly. You don't know that the drug is doing it.
So do you think it's doing it in, like, incremental stages? Obviously not the first time you take Prozac. You're not going to
feel it. I'll tell you. No, here's what they say. If you're going to have a terrible reaction, it usually happens either when you first start the drug or when you stop the drug. When you decrease the dose or increase the dose or when you switch from one SSRI to another. That's the most dangerous time for these kind of behavioral changes.
So it really isn't a creeper drug. It's really more about just getting it into your system, and then once it's in your system,
right?
You just—it's hard to control in any case.
I think it's more like when you start and stop, and then it's disrupting the neurotransmitters in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, then maybe there's a person that's been on Prozac for 10 years and thinks they're doing fine, and that's okay. I'm not arguing with them, and I'm saying okay, they're doing fine, although they probably have gained weight by now. That's another thing that's kind of sneaky about these drugs. When you first start them, you don't gain weight, or maybe even you lose a little, But after you've been on them for 10 years, I bet you've gained at least 40 to 50 pounds.
And why is that?
Why is that? Now, that's a good, very good question, but I doubt that it's been studied. Who would sponsor a study like that? That why have you gained weight? It slows your metabolism in the end.
Mm-hmm.
When you start out, you become agitated. You're kind of speeded up, and have a lot of energy. But as the years go on, while you're on the drugs, your energy gets less and less. And so your metabolism starts to slow down. Your whole body really is kind of being, poisoned.
Well, why does it give it that reversed effect? It seems like at first, it doesn't make you that docile, but later on it starts to make you more and more docile and less healthy. Well, why is it that it gives you this burst of energy in the very beginning, but later on it has these other effects?
Well, the burst of energy is probably, of course, from the serotonin itself,
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, I don't really know how this works exactly. I just know that people that would tell me they'd been on Prozac for 12 years or sold off for 14 years or something,
mm-hmm.
and that they just got lazier and lazier. They got kind of numbed out. And, so it just made them heavier and slowed their metabolism.
Maybe your body acclimates to it. Who knows? It's a tragic story that people, again, not only young people are on this, but older people are on this and ruining their lives, ruining their relationships with their friends, their family.
The problem with American people is they can't understand if the word says antidepressant, they can't believe that drug is going to make them more depressed instead of less depressed. I mean, would you believe that an antibiotic for pneumonia was going to give you pneumonia instead of cure you of pneumonia?
Well, at this point,
yes. We've never heard of that in the 40s or 50s or 60s,
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard for people to comprehend this.
How can people support you?
Support me?
Yeah, support you and your website.
How can people support me?
Yeah, how can they get in touch with you? You got an email?
There's a contact page. Yeah, they can email to me.
Do you have a donations? Do you sell any products?
No, I don't. I'm doing this strictly as a volunteer.
Well, how long have you been involved in this? Because it's a pretty elaborate website.
Yeah, it is. I've been working on it since 1997.
Oh,
but
wow.
I didn't put it out on the World Wide Web until December of 2006.
So wait a minute. You worked on this, but you're telling me you worked on this almost a decade before you put it on the Internet?
Right.
That's a story in itself.
It is, because I had a message board and I was just sending out to different people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saving all the cases, and one day I looked up and I had over 1,000 cases. And I thought, boy, you know, people should know about this. And so there was a lady out in California who said, yeah, go ahead. And she got me a computer specialist. My husband is pretty good at it, too. But anyway, he set up this. When you go into the index, it's a database that's sortable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first it'll have the what column, and that means, like, what happened, like school shooting or arson. Then the drug, which drug was it, you know, like Prozac or Zoloft. Or, then the date when it happened. Then where, like Texas or Louisiana. And then a little bit of additional column there.
Gotcha.
And so you can press on those, see, there, and then click on it, and then it'll sort it. Like, if you click on where, all of a sudden, it'll start with, I guess, Alabama.
Now, do you get a lot of people contacting you with new stories? I mean, even 3,000 seems like a big number, but I guarantee there's 30,000.
A lot of people contact me with stories, but the problem is we can't use personal stories. It has to be a story that appeared in a newspaper.
Well, that's what I mean. They're not giving you as many news tips?
They're giving me a few. I get some. Yeah.
I can get you news tips.
Okay.
You give me an email out here. I get you as many news tips as you want. I get 100 a day.
The thing is, the article has to say in it that the person was taking a medication for depression or an antidepressant or Prozac or Lexapro or Cymbalta or something.
Well, if you hear that, listeners, SSRIstories.com is where you send your stories about these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft, and more. Thank you so much for joining us, Betty. It's Betty Henderson of SSRIstories.com. Go check out the site. So much to learn. You have a good night.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, bye.
We'll be back after this with a news blitz in your call. It's the Info Warrior.
Save the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire. The mob goes wow, wow, wow. Streets on fire. The mob goes wow. 21 guns, blacks made of pine. Letter from the government sealed and signed. Delivered Federal Express on your mother's doorsteps. 21 guns, blacks made of pine. Letter from the government sealed and signed.
You want to talk about sustainability, you want to talk about what's coming up. In a moment, we're going to discuss U.S. cities may have to be bulldozed in order to survive. That's what sustainability is about. It's not about housing people. It's not about loving goodness. The green movement is about second world nation via the United States of America and really the North American Union. I want to thank one of my great sponsors right now. It's MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com. We're talking about 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. The number is 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. A solar generator is like having silent power plant hidden in your home. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubled times. MySolarBackup.com, 877-327-0365. Now, they won't tell you this in the United States, but the Telegraph, again, sometimes they'll report on things that are in the news that they know are going to happen overseas, and we'll do the same about them. You know, the media doesn't always lie. They just kind of ease you in to their version of the truth. The government looking at expanding a pioneering scheme in Flint, one of the poorest U.S. cities, which involves razing entire districts and returning the land to nature. Oh, to nature. Again, we have homeless people in this country. We can't give them the home. We're just going to destroy all these homes. We're not going to try to build an economy. We're not going to try to put plants there that actually produce items. We're not going to try to give people work. No, we want everybody to join the slave squad and go to the FEMA camps. I'm sure they'll bulldoze it for a nice FEMA center for everybody. That'd be nice. Local politicians believe the city must contract by as much as 40%, concentrating the dwindling population and local services into a more viable area. So what happens if you bought a home and three of your neighbors had to move because, you know, the bankers just stole trillions of dollars and they blamed it on the subprime mortgages. Well, guess what? You who can still pay your bills, they're bulldozing your house too. Eminent domain style. See ya. See ya. But no, they love us. That's what this green movement is about. And by the way, the green movement getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Nations may form global CO2 market without UN deal. See, if the UN can't trick some of the newbies and the lower countries that are a part of the organization into their little Kyoto protocols overhaul, they're just going to have the big rich countries do it for them without the United Nations. See, they'll bring the United Nations in later to further legitimize world government, but they'll go around them when it's an obstacle. Rich countries may act on their own to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by developing a carbon market they hope will lure in poor nations, even if UN climate change talks get bogged down. Experts say nearly 200 countries have been trying to reach an agreement to replace the Kyoto Protocol on global warming with a December deadline at a meeting in Copenhagen approaching. So by Christmas time, they want everybody to sign in, but they'll have a backup plan in case people object, in case they say, you know, this doesn't let us expand our economy and our people are still really struggling. We've seen a little bit of growth and we're hoping to have more. No more growth. It's slave growth. They want population reduction. They want everybody to take the nice little shot of the swine flu, nice little soft kill virus. They want it to kill off the weak, have a big panic, get everybody to take it, reducing their lifespan as they implode the economy and bulldoze U.S. cities. Headline out of the Telegraph. But no, I must be making it up. By the way, we got some new stories over at theinfowarrior.com. We're going to be playing one of those on the other side. I'm Jason Burmes. Go check out Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders sling test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the meteors these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the insurgents.
And this green craze is reaching off into every single market. Everybody's talking about smart growth, this green revolution. Meanwhile, in the backdrop, oh, we're going to bulldoze U.S. cities. We're going to decrease them by up to 40%. We're going to forcibly inoculate people under pandemic level 6, which we quietly declared this week. We're going to further legitimize international governance. And now PC markets are also going to go green. Global PC makers vying for the green crown. Personal computer makers are increasingly prioritizing green strategies, creating a pivotal point of competition for customers that are becoming more attuned to their financial and societal benefits. You know, I have to watch this disgusting propaganda, I would say, 5 nights a week when I turn my television on. I don't get to turn it on all 7 nights a week. But when I do turn it on, you know, after a long day, I have to see stories, these heartfelt pieces. Oh, I got rid of my coal barbecue because it was ruining the environment. I got this green one for only a couple G's. It's eco-friendly. I'm like, are you okay, buddy? Are you out of your mind? You spent $2,000 on something that's going to cook your food and take longer, taste not as good. That coal taste, hey, I'm not telling you to eat barbecue every day because it's probably pretty bad for you. But every once in a while, you know what? I'll take a little bit of a shortened lifespan if that's what it means for some barbecue chicken. My opinion, I'm running with it. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to Kyle. Kyle, you're on the line.
How's it going, Jason?
It's all right.
I got a question for you, and hopefully you have an answer for me. I have a four-month-old baby, and okay. We were forced to take the Title 19 based upon our financial situation at the time. Now, we didn't do any of the vaccines, and just right here earlier today, I didn't get a call. I didn't get a reach this particular individual, but it was someone from the local county healthcare services wanting to call us and ask us about our daughter. My question for you is what is the best way or demeanor to keep these people off your back long enough to where, because I'll be ready to get, I'll be able to get insurance through the place I'm now working at here soon enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to avoid.
Well, you just have to. Yeah, you just have to be stern when they start saying to you, "Well, we see that your baby isn't properly vaccinated right now, and she's a risk to other toddlers, and we wouldn't want her to be in a situation where she was able to get ill." And you just have to be like, "Look, it's against both my religious and political beliefs to vaccinate my child when you know we know about Gardasil, and they want to try to give my baby a hepatitis vaccine. My baby is not going to be exposed to any kind of sexually transmitted or drug-related disease within the next, hopefully, you know, 10 to 20 years of her life." And I would just say this, you know, approach it in a manner where you call them ma'am and sir. You try not to get very angry with them. They're going to try to play word games with you. And you just have to keep explaining, listen, I know that this is color of law. I know that I have the choice as a parent to be a conscientious objecting a waiver. You know, I know that this paperwork exists, and you show me the actual law where it says that I have to vaccinate my child. And like I said, you do it with a demeanor where it's sir, ma'am, because you know these people are psychopathic. In this office, they tried to take, you know, the receptionist's daughter, and she was in the office. There was nothing wrong with her. I mean, she barely had a bruise on her leg. I couldn't believe it. And I would just steer clear of social services as much as you possibly can and not get involved in the system. Thank you for the call, Kyle. We're going to go to Lori, Mark, Lenny, and more on the other side. And I'm going to play this clip from 2004. Everybody out there who listens knows I'm a Stern fan, and I'd heard about this clip for years now, wondering if it actually existed. And sure enough, it does. We're going to play it. Coming up after this, it's the Info Warrior. So back in 2004, Howard Stern went on the air and he discussed what he thought was an anomaly at the Pentagon, and even said it didn't look like a plane hit the Pentagon. He thought it was a missile. And I had had my friends call me up about this, say that he had talked about it on the air, but people got funny with him. And he just stopped talking about it. If you watch Loose Change Second Edition, we include the clip where Howard Stern talks about where he believes that Flight 93 was shot down. So I think that Stern really pulled back when he saw the amount of criticism he was getting just for questioning the attacks. I mean, he even goes into how Hani Hanyor could not have flown the plane into the Pentagon. He even posted what I think is probably the Pentagon. it's called, the Pentagon Strike? It was a short that was in the original Loose Change. If you got the DVD, it had the Pentagon Strike, this like 3.5 minute flash animation that was out there. And he had obviously seen it. And they posted it on howardstern.com. Completely disappeared from the archives. Had only heard it talked about. Had my friends say, no, this really does exist. This really does exist. And finally someone posted it in late April. And it was just sent to me or posted on my website. And so I posted it over at theinfowarrior.com. We're going to play it now. You decide.
Guy is masterful in this campaign.
Warren, we're just a country of real dummies.
Retards.
They're stupid. Like Gary the retard is smart compared to these people.
Not to mention the cover-up at the Pentagon, which no one's even talking about. I'm the only guy talking about it.
There's another guy.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, what are you talking about? Cover.
All right, look, you know I'm a bright guy, right? Everyone here knows that. All right, look. listen to
that
me.
That goes without saying.
9/11. Remember 9/11? What happened?
What'd
you see?
Well.
What did you see on 9/11? You saw two planes go into the World Trade Center, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you so far.
What else did you see that nobody ever talks about? We saw the Pentagon get blown up.
Right.
Okay. Now, let me tell you something, and this is the great mystery. If a plane went into the Pentagon, which I never believed a plane went into the Pentagon, I have no clue where that came from. There's not one tire track on the lawn of the Pentagon. If a plane was to crash onto that, you ever see the huge lawn in front of the Pentagon? Mm. There isn't a tire track. There isn't a, they've never found the remnant of a plane. There's no plane. Did you ever look at
my dear, why would there be a tire track?
Because the plane had to hit ground first. It supposedly slid down and hit from the base of the Pentagon.
It didn't crash into the top?
No. Not only that, when a you saw what that plane did to the World Trade Center. It leveled it.
Right.
How is it that all the only damage to the Pentagon was a cylinder, a round hole, that went directly through the Pentagon? I'll tell you why.
Are you saying it was hit by a missile?
It was hit by a missile.
Where did the missile come from?
Don't know. But it is clear that we're being lied to. Now
where'd you get this one?
This one. Because you want to know what I've done since 9/11 for 2 years now?
What have you been doing?
I freeze frame every picture I can find of the Pentagon on my DVD player. And the injuries to the Pentagon are not consistent with an airplane hitting it.
There's damage to the Pentagon.
That's right. Well, I think of the Pentagon as a human being. There is
all good Americans do.
No one saw a plane.
Weren't there four planes hijacked? Yes.
Yes. And
where's the third plane?
Don't know. And the guy who flew the plane that supposedly went into the Pentagon, they contacted the flight instructor who taught these guys how to fly. He says that guy couldn't even take off in an airplane and had no ability to steer. They're saying he couldn't even steer the goddamn plane.
That's
he was so incompetent.
It didn't hit hard enough to completely destroy the Pentagon.
No. He couldn't even reach the Pentagon.
Well, actually, he was supposed to be headed toward the White House. Don't you remember that? He missed his target.
And let me tell you something. Yeah, he missed his target and accidentally hit the Pentagon. What
well,
luck.
There's a lot of stuff there. A
lot of luck. But if you freeze frame what the building, the Pentagon building.
And show me where you freeze frame this.
As a matter of fact, there's a guy who did the same thing. Go to howardstern.com. I think we have it up there. You can click on it. You'll see all the pictures.
All right.
How could that be covered up, though? That's a major cover.
Well, he's saying the cover-up is that we were attacked by missiles and nobody's telling us.
That's right.
Wait, but how could you say on the news that it's a plane? And, I mean, you know.
Because that's the information you're given.
You could say anything you want. They assume it's a plane.
So all the rescue workers that went there to help out, they have to be
They were
of,
killed.
They were killed?
No, they don't know what happened. They're just like, hey, the plane hit.
Well, you could tell whether there was plane debris.
Well, look at the debris. You'll see there's no plane debris. Where's the plane? If a plane went into the Pentagon, where is it? Where's there a wing? Where's there anything?
You know what? I would have to ask you what wreckage they brought out of the World Trade Center and if they had a whole wing or this
they found,
or that.
They found things. The World Trade Center, you saw on videotape.
Yeah, you saw it.
That's right. That was a missile that went into the Pentagon.
All right, if you say so.
Yeah, but, you know, that's all right. Except he's voting for Bush.
My point is, there's a guy who's written a book, and he says there were so many warnings about terrorists wanting to use planes to, fly them into large buildings here in the United States. It's heinous that 9/11 happened.
Right.
And for the Bush administration to say they didn't know it was going to happen is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
They just ignored what was being told to them.
Well, people are accepting it. And that's the president that's going to protect you.
That's the one they say will make you safe. That's why they're voting for him. He's the safe guy. He's going to keep us safe.
Yeah.
There were absolutely no weapons of mass destruction. And Saddam Hussein had no way of getting any. And we're mired in this war.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, doesn't matter.
And nobody cares.
I care. I'm the only one who cares.
Well, you can't even talk about it. If you talk about it, people scream, stop talking politics.
I know.
Well, there it is right there. The Howard Stern Show dabbles into 9/11 truth back in 2004. And even Robin, and you could tell Artie was very reserved in that. Robin even talks about the warnings and the lie hop version. But Stern seems pretty adamant about, you know, a missile hitting the Pentagon, and then that just went by the wayside by the next day. We are joined by Mark Dice of the ResistanceManifesto.com on the line. How you doing, Mark?
Good. I just wanted to throw the listeners a heads up that as of about 15 minutes ago, you can register URLs, usernames on Facebook. So you can right now, Facebook.com/Glenn Beck is available. This first come, first serve. They just enacted it. So if you register his name, everybody who searches Glenn Beck or Facebook.com/Glenn Beck is going to go to your Facebook page. Now, if you register your favorite Fox News pundits page, Sean Hannity's already taken. Barack Obama's already taken, but I do want to warn you that your page may be suspended, but I just thought it would be an interesting idea to maybe educate some of the scum and zombies that are really going to be searching for their new Facebook URLs. I just want to throw that out there for
everybody. No, it's true. I mean, if you can't get RushLimbaugh.com, maybe you can get Limbaugh.com or Limbaugh Radio, and you can be pretty creative with these types of things.
Yeah, and as of 15 minutes ago, they started allowing everybody to register them. So I just checked. Glenn Beck was available. Some other names that I searched were already taken. So either they had a prior agreement or they had their minions sitting there waiting. There was a screen that was counting down to the second that when it was possible for somebody to do that. So if anybody wants to snag Glenn Beck's name as a username on Facebook, you can do it. But I do want to warn you that they, of course, probably will file some sort of a claim with them. Your account may be shut down. But it might be a good way for you to grab some attention and educate some of their viewers that are going to try to hit up their Facebook page.
What do you think about Glenn Beck's latest comments that we got posted over at theinfowarrior.com right now?
Is that when he said that the scum that shot up the Holocaust Museum was a hero for the 9/11 truth?
Oh, yeah. Like people are praising somebody who shot a security guard making $10.75 an hour.
Yeah, well, it's clear. And, you know, I'm glad Prison Planet posted this. And from reading on the posts, I see that this scum's voicemail is filled up. So if you want to call Glenn Beck's producer, everyone listening, you can call the Fox News channel and then ask them to transfer you to Gresham Stregel, and they will transfer you. I don't know if they're going to transfer you anymore. I did this a few days ago, and it was posted on Prison Planet Today, and some of the comments that I read show that his voicemail was full from some of the callers. So while you can't transfer through to Glenn Beck's name, his name's not in the Audix voicemail system. A couple years ago, I showed everybody how to call Sean Hannity's personal voicemail box, and then he pulled it out of the Audix system. But if you want to call Glenn Beck's producer and voice your opinion, call the Fox News channel and then ask for Gresham Stregel. The article is posted on PrisonPlanet.com. The phone number is posted there as well. And if you can't get through to them, I think we should fill up their viewer services voicemail box, their comment line, their story tip line, with our thoughts of what we think of this complete scum, Glenn Beck, trying to smear all 9/11 truth and saying that this piece of garbage that went and shot up the museum is a hero to anyone.
And that we want to work with Al-Qaeda and white supremacists to actually destroy the country. Let's not forget that.
Most people knew that Glenn Beck, I mean, Alex and you knew that Beck was an operative. I mean, he wouldn't be in a position that he was if he wasn't. But he is really the lowest of the low, because only a few other newspapers that I had seen had equated this scum with 9/11 truth. But nobody in the media has went so far to say that he was a hero of us. Maybe some people mentioned that he was a 9/11 truther, which is a smear in and of itself. But most of the pundits and the talking heads said that he was a racist and a white supremacist and a total psycho. And leave it to Beck, just the lowest of the low. He must be looking for a pay raise from his Illuminati handlers.
Yeah, $50 million's not enough to spew lies and hate on the TV and radio. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes taking your calls after this. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, 866-582-9933.
Well, come on, all of you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is
so
Vietnam.
So I signed on to the Facebook. I had the four-minute break. I'm thinking to myself, this is a piece of cake. Just going to send my username as Facebook.com/Jason Burmes. No, Joshua Basquez thought that he would take Jason Burmes from me. So, folks, it's Facebook.com. It's unbelievable. Just, your name's, wait, did he, First of all, we share the same initials, so I guess we could be JB and JB. But Vasquez, why would you want Bermas? Why would you take my name? I don't get it. I don't know, Joshua. It seems a little odd to me. I took the Info Warrior. So it's Jason Bermas, Facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior if you want to send me any kind of news tip. I check all that stuff out. Lori, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to talk to you about something that a lot of people might not know is going on with Iraq.
Okay.
And that's, you know, my son's over there in the Army and everything. And, you know, he went to Iraq for 13 months, and he came back, and he was telling me about this shit that's going on over there with the depleted uranium.
Yeah, the DU?
Yeah, exactly. And I had no idea that, you know...
We've covered it here, there's actually some great documentaries out there. But, yeah, depleted uranium is almost like having dirty bombs going off all the time. It has thousands of years half-life. It's completely poisonous. It gives you radiation poisoning, and it also causes cancer.
Yeah, he told me he saw some Iraqi mothers having children that had like deformities.
Yeah. Oh my God! All right,
let me
tell you. Let me tell you about that. And I thank you for the call. Hopefully, you'll listen to this on the net. But if you type in alien baby, there is a baby. Looks a lot like an alien. This thing is like literally looks green, red poofy eyes, red mouth. It's a DU deformed baby. Just check out the alien baby. I didn't think it was real when I was first seeing it. I thought it was some kind of a hoax or a doll or some kind of an animatronic puppet. No, it's the real deal. And it shows you how awful, awful this DU really is. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on the line.
Wait.
Oh, all right. You got something else for me? What, Lori?
Yeah, I do. I do want to tell you something. He said that there, when you come into Iraq, there's all these rusted out vehicles.
Yeah.
Kind of in a line.
Yeah.
And they have so much depleted uranium on it, they are constantly giving off radiation, and they won't touch it. There's no way they can get it out of there.
Yeah, well, I can't remember exactly what the power hour production on DU is, but if you go to the Power Hour or Dave Von Kleist, they did a whole documentary on that. And if you want to know why all these trucks are all blown up on the side of the road, go check out Iraq for Sale. That really describes, because if you lose a tire, it's more profitable for the industry to have them, instead of repair the tire, oh no, we'll just, you know, have another $7.5 million brigade, and they just blow it up there on the side of the road. Go check out Iraq for Sale, and go check out the Power Hour Productions for that DU documentary. I thank you for the call. Let's go to Mark, you're on the line.
Hey Jason, first of all, I wanted to say about that Howard Stern thing. He's done a lot of stuff that a lot of people consider pretty ballsy. I think that's about the ballsiest thing Howard's ever done, and he needs to get back to that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. You know what? That totally shows me, and that was when he was back on terrestrial radio, having his clash with Colin Powell's son. I remember when he had Michael Moore on for Fahrenheit 9/11. He was adamantly against Bush. He obviously didn't see beyond the false left-right paradigm. However, he was looking into 9/11 truth as one of the earlier people in 2004. There were a lot of people I couldn't even get to check out websites in 2004. And the Pentagon strike was one of those videos that kind of had a buzz before YouTube even existed.
Yep, that's true. And I don't know, you know, how he would respond, but you guys should try contacting Howard and, you know, bringing that up and just seeing, you know, try stirring the pot a little bit, see what happens.
Well, let me say this, man. I downloaded that as a hard copy because I didn't want to lose it, because I suspect after my listeners get a hold of it and it's on my blog and people start emailing Howard, they're going to pull it off the net.
Nice. Well, you know, we can do what we can. I guess and this is actually the main reason I called. I attended my first city council meeting about 2 weeks ago, since I got the We Are Change thing started. So me and my buddies are, you know, thinking, what are we going to do locally to start?
And what was your experience there?
Well, this is the thing. This is horrendous. It's ridiculous. There is a lady there asking why she's being charged for sewer repair, and this is the circumstance. Try to visualize this. Don lives on a corner lot. The city's doing sewer repair, and they're not repairing the street that her sewer is connected to. They're repairing the adjacent street sewer. So since Dawn's house is on a lot big enough to build another house on, if she would choose to, or if she chose, you know, the other half of the lot to sell to someone, and they decide to build a structure on it, the new house would use that sewer being repaired. So the city's making her pay over $4,000 for this repair. If I can finish this on the other side, I'd
you got it. So they're basically trying. Yeah, you got it. So they're basically trying to extort her from a city project. Oh, the balloons fall, and that means we're going to break. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Go check out the Bobby Bloggins over at theinfowarrior.com and facebook.com/theinfowarrior.
I never remorse for you, no letters endorsing you. Pole position in the coffin is what is costing you. The caucus bosses who control the fortunes through the mortgages of a culture with losses through and through.
But it's the rebel law.
Godspeed with devil's charm. The shit made get switched blades in every arm. And this way we ex-nay on any harm. Cause snakes play and fakes lay like hidden bombs. We march in unison. The soul is true within eternal missions with just a lifetime to do it in.
Stronghold set it with sash it with. Batons. The rebel arms swarm and form like Voltron. Slash your old beast, you heard Mark of the East. Running through cop land, screaming, fuck the police. Hormones in the water, they acting out of order like a pack of rabid wolves. They lambs for the slaughter. Crush your mandible, rip the drums like animal. Eat them seeds, they my own kind, I'm a cannibal. My regiment salute me. Haters wanna shoot me. Kool-Aid in their veins. They
we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We're on the line with Mark. And Mark, what you're telling me is this woman lives across the street from a city project where they are redoing the sewer, making repairs. And because she owns that property and she would have the ability if she wanted to put another property on it, they're charging her $4,000 for these repairs?
Yeah, Jason, that's basically the case. What it is since the adjacent street is being having the sewer repaired on it, and yeah, her lot's on the corner, and her house isn't hooked up to that sewer. It's hooked up to the, you know, other street sewer. However, since her lot's big enough to build another house on, which would hook up to the being repaired sewer at this time, or if she sold it to another person and they decided at that point to build a house on it, that would use the other sewer. And the city's telling her, well, we can't predict the future, and that's exactly the point. We can't predict the future. We don't know if somebody's going to build a house there or not, and up until somebody does, that should be a service fee that's paid for at the time of build that, you know, that could be applied in the future. That's ridiculous. There's no
I agree 110%, especially in the housing market, and I'm reading articles where they're saying that they may have to bulldoze 40% of major cities.
It's ridiculous, and I have a solution to this. And the story gets actually even more crazy. Dawn's a single mother of two kids, one of which has seizures and has to wear a helmet. I swear to God, hand to God, Jason, I am not making this
up. I've known a couple of the kids that wear the helmet. It's not just a bad joke. There are kids that have to wear it.
It's completely true. And solution is because, you know, we have the We Are Change thing going. Let's help this woman, change the situation, and she can't afford, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 for a sewer repair. The public works director, his name is David Patek. His contact number is 920-236-5065. Again, 920-236-5065. The mayor is Mr. Paul Esslinger. His contact info is 920-426-9750. Again, 920-426-9750. Everybody, I'm just
Mark, throw out your contact information and what chapter We Are Change you're with too, so people can get a hold of you that way.
Oh, absolutely. My contact info is my MySpace is myspace.com/triplehelix. Triple is spelled with two P's. The letter L's in the two words are the number one, and there's an underscore between the two words. Otherwise, my email is extremely simple. It's mjungwirthemail@gmail.com. It's just M, my last name, email. @gmail.com.
All right, I thank you for the call, buddy. Those are tough emails and MySpaces. I'm not going to lie. Those are good good points, though, and hopefully people will come to your aid. I'm glad you're getting involved with your local city council. Lenny in New York. Lenny, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, these movies, like 28 Days Later, 20 Weeks Later, the pen level is like 6 in those movies, so you got to like break it down like that.
It's level 6 in I Am Legend. You know, which is based on Omega Man. Yeah, no, level 6 is it, and they did it quietly. They ran some beta tests, and I don't know when they're getting ready to strong-arm the populace, but it's bad news, Brown, that we're putting international law above our sovereignty over piggy flu. Am I wrong? It's not even pig flu. Again, it has swine flu, it has avian flu, and it has human flu in it, and we've had top scientists in this country say, yeah, well, it would be really easy to explain if it leaked out of a lab, but it would always have to be accidentally leaked. See, they would never, ever release it on the populace, even though the CIA in the 70s released African swine virus in Cuba, and it was reported on back in the day. No one talks about it.
Oh, it's an accident.
Oh, everything's an accident. What else you got for me, Lenny?
Not much. You're doing a great job. And take it easy, man.
Appreciate it, brother. Courtney in Toronto. Courtney, you're on the line. Yes, Courtney.
Hi. I was just going to call and tell you about my my story with prescription medication.
Okay.
For antidepressants. Okay, a year after I had my son, I was having a hard time falling asleep at night. So I went to my family doctor, and he put me on Cipralex, which is an SSRI. And it wasn't working for me, so I went back, and he sent me to a psychiatrist who then told me I'm bipolar after seriously talking to me for 5 minutes. I was in his office for 5 minutes. He's like, oh, you're definitely bipolar. And I said, oh, really? Why is that? And before he got into a little bit more detail, he's like, well, I could tell right away as soon as you walked in that you were bipolar. I'm like, really? How's that? And he's like, I could tell by your clothes.
Oh, your clothes tell people that you're bipolar.
I'm like, what's up with my clothes? He's like, you're dressed in extremely vibrant colors. I'm like, okay. And so he put me on, the first doctor had me on an antidepressant and an antipsychotic.
Mm-hmm.
Then they switched me to lithium and a mood stabilizer. I had my baby. 5 weeks later, I was 126 pounds with no exercise. I was naturally a very small person all my life.
Mm-hmm. So you're telling me you put a lot of weight on just from using these drugs. Did we drop her? Oh, I was enjoying that. Courtney, call back in some other time. I'd really love to hear the rest of your story. Let's go to Saitor in Indiana. Saitor, you're online.
Barmes.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Got two questions for you, man. I have a lot of respect for Dennis Kucinich, man, but is he drinking the Kool-Aid? Because he just signed on to the Audit the Fed bill yesterday, and you haven't really heard anything about him coming out, you know, saying anything about Obama. And then he gave that big speech at the DNC. And then also, this Mark Levin guy, who seems like he's like the super constitutionalist, but he won't even utter the words Ron Paul. And then he has this book out, Liberty and Tyranny, a Manifesto. And then you got Glenn Beck coming out with Common Sense. I mean, give me
a break. The Common Sense. Let me respond to the last part of that first. The Common Sense thing is disgusting. Jumping on the bandwagon of Thomas Paine's Common Sense, which was all about liberty and freedom, this monster is basically jumping on the bandwagon of common terminology, trying to bring even more people into his little world of pseudo patriotism. He's really the guy they're using to hijack the patriot movement. He's the one they're using to go after the Ron Paul supporters that don't see the bigger picture, that don't know about eugenics, that don't understand 9/11 was an inside job, and he's trying to co-opt those people. As far as Dennis Kucinich, you know, I was really disgusted with the way that he treated Barack Obama at that fake State of the Union address months ago. I am happy to hear that he just signed on to H.R. 1207. How many co-sponsors does that have now?
Last I seen was 222, if not 5.
Yeah, it was 222 last night when we did the show, and if he signed on today, or if it was yesterday, I guess he could have been part of that 222. I hope for good things with Dennis. You know, I wish that I had had more time with Cindy Sheehan, because I wanted to get her take on Dennis Kucinich, because to me, he did seem like one of the more genuine, if you will, Democrats that was working with her in the quote-unquote anti-war movement. But I just thought the interview with her went great. I mean, she totally blew the doors off the left-right paradigm. Go ahead.
She seems like she kind of has a little defeatist attitude, which I can completely understand, but Pelosi's disapproval rating's above 50% now, and her approval rating's in the 30s. So, I mean, this could be the year of the third party, or, I mean, next year, you know, and I really...
Well, that's what Salente is really predicting, and you know what? I respect Gerald Salente, and trendsresearch.com is a great website. I hope he's correct. Let's go to Robert. Oh, I'm sorry I dropped you there. A little indigestion.
Hey.
Yes, Robert.
Hey, Jason, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
All right. I infiltrated the snake Glenn Beck's radio channel. I got by his screener this morning.
Awesome.
And I dropped a sneak attack info bomb on him. I basically confronted him about the nanothermite that was found at the World Trade Center wreckage, and he called me a freak. Kind of got him mad because he didn't expect it.
Yeah.
But I have the video up on my YouTube account.
Okay.
On my channel. My channel is called Funk Master 5, FunkMasterFive. No numbers, just Funk Master 5. And you guys can see it there. I put a little presentation on it. And, yeah, just, you know, we got to punch this guy back because he's coming after us and he's trying to discredit us.
How long do you have to wait on the line to get on the show?
I was not too long. I was on probably like 30 minutes or so.
So that's not too bad. I mean, obviously, you got to get in there. And like Mark Dice says, if you call right before the program.
I thought you were talking about your show. No, I had to wait about an hour and 20 minutes to get on his show, but I wouldn't give up.
Yeah, it's usually a little bit tougher on those ones. Hey, as long as you did it, man, that's the way to go. Hopefully, we'll play it on Monday night's InfoWarrior. I'll check it out over the weekend. I thank you for your work. Steven in Texas. Steven, you're on the line.
Yeah, hey, good evening, Jason.
How you doing, Steven?
Good. Hey, first of all, I was thinking we need to start calling him Glenn Bunk.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he's so full of, man. This guy is.
No, it's pretty much it. He just spews lies and hate, and he tells a little bit of truth about the Federal Reserve System. Just a little bit, not even the whole truth. Probably like maybe 70 to 80% of the truth, and people are jumping on his bandwagon like no other.
Yeah, a couple things real quick. First of all, follow up on last night. I was talking to you about, you know, that I do health insurance, and you know, they're really pushing to make this mandatory for everybody and penalizing them if they don't. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this. You know, here earlier you did this great interview with that lady about the antipsychotic drugs, you know, and et cetera. And, mm-hmm. I run into so many people in the job I do that are on these medications, you know, because they've been diagnosed with this made-up malady through Freudian psychology, which is one of the biggest farces out there. But, okay, so they make this mandatory. So now, of course, they have standards of so-called health and wellness. Okay, well, part of that is, of course, mandatory testing. And, of course, then they're going to, diagnose you that, well, you know, you've got this, so now you have to take the medications or you have to take the flu shot or whatever because, you know, we have to prevent this pandemic from becoming to where it kills everybody. And, of course, the goal is to kill everybody. So, you know, that, I tell you, this whole thing with the socialized medicine just scares me to death. The other thing I just wanted to mention was today I happened to tune in to Sean Hannity's show just for a little bit, holding my nose, of course. But here he was talking about how David Letterman had this thing, you know, attacking Sarah Palin's family. And you know, okay,
I heard it.
Yeah, the thing is that, okay, yeah, what Saturday Night Live did was despicable, you know, implying that her husband's having sex with their daughter. And, you know, Letterman did the same thing. But you know what? These stupid people, and they got to be doing this on purpose, they are just causing people to be so distracted from the bigger issues. I could really, in the bigger picture, care less about some so-called comedian on late-night talk attacking Sarah Palin or whoever, man.
I could care less almost about Sarah Palin. I mean, she's almost irrelevant at this point. They threw her into the spotlight for a rigged election that they knew they were going to lose, and now she's in the backdrop as some kind of pop culture icon because she was a beauty queen turned governor of Alaska. I mean, her relevance is in Alaska, and that's about it.
And the thing is about her, you know, the hypocrisy on her part is, here they attack her on Saturday Night Live, James Franco, and then she goes and does a comedy sketch on the show.
Oh, it's all so rigged. How many times did they have Barack Obama on that show? You didn't see any presidents on the Saturday Night Live before they were pushing a presidential candidate. I thank you for the call, Stephen. Let's go to Brian in Florida. Brian, you're on the line. Yes, sir.
Hey, Jason, I need you to put me back to your guy who screens the calls, because I really didn't want to talk online, but I really got something important to talk to you about. I'm the guy with the web domains that talked to you last night. And, if you can put me back to that guy, he put me through to hold before I could tell him what I need to talk to you about, because I wanted to send you a message.
All right, well, and then hold him over and let him know let me know what he wants. Throw it to me on the IM. Let's go to Michelle in Kansas. Michelle, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
I had a story about my son. This was 6 years ago. He was 8, and we were living in California, and the schools and the county, I mean, they bullied and forced me to put him on medications. And he was on towards the end. I mean, I got a lot of information. I learned my rights. I didn't know them at first. But towards the end, they had him on 17 pills a day.
17 pills a day. How old was this kid at this time? 10 years old, maybe?
He would have been nine and a half. They started at about seven. It was lithium, Depakote, Zoloft, Buspar, Wellbutrin. They said at one point he was schizophrenic. They put him on that medicine, and that made him crazy. Mm-hmm. Finally, I mean, I fought him, and it took a lot. They had social services came to my house 12 times. I should call back because there's a whole other story of this therapist that they sent out to the house who was actually Janice Hooker, who was involved in the Girl in the Box story out in Red Bluff, California.
Okay.
And some people in the county sent me a videotape of her and her husband that had taken this girl, and she was fighting me. But I eventually got him off, but you have to get the information. And they told me, you know, horrible things. He was going to die, and he'd kill himself.
How was your son after he got it off? Was it very difficult for him to drop the drugs?
It was hard. It was hard. He went through withdrawals. He had some problems. We did it. We changed his diet. And I mean, he's doing great now. He works. I homeschool all my kids, so mm-hmm. I have six.
And that puts you as a target right away by CPS.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They threatened me with so many things. But, I mean, I stood my ground, and you kind of have to, and you have to be willing to fight. Mm-hmm. But he's doing awesome now, and he's been off, five years. And, I mean, of course, they jumped on the bipolar. That's what they diagnosed him with.
And people are so willing to believe, and I'm not talking about parents in general, but I'm talking about people that they're prescribing these drugs to, so willing to believe the doctor's prognosis when the previous caller said she was in the office for 5 minutes and she's bipolar. I mean, give me a break. It's quackery, and they want you on these drugs for profit and to dumb us down and to make us more docile and to make us more dependent on the system to get CPS and other government organizations into our lives. I thank you for the call, Michelle. Let's go to Matthew in California. Matthew, you're online. Yes,
hello,
sir.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Good.
I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about Senate Bill 435 here that was going to be doing smog laws for motorcycles.
Yes, the Harley-Davidson caller. I've actually talked about you quite a few times on the program now.
Yeah, the bill was defeated. It was defeated, I believe, because, well, I don't have to believe. It was defeated, in fact, because the it was going to cost too much. The state is so broke. They don't have the money to afford the bureaucracy to create new smog stations and smog these bikes right now. It is great news. It was originally sponsored by the American Lung Association, which is also telling you who actually originated the law. If you really want to look into it, we should all look into them. I'm sure you know all about
Well, it shows that we can have victories, man, you know, and not everything is gloom and doom. It sucks that they try to put this legislation into place, and it also sucks that I'm getting calls from people who are working in social services in California telling me in the last 6 to 12 months that they're seeing a quadrupling in the amount of people that are applying for food stamps, Medicaid, WIC, and other programs like that. I thank you for the call, Matthew. We're going to come back. Final segment of the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com, and Facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior. Apparently, this guy was a fan, and he was trying to reserve it for me, but I'm not so sure you can switch him up. And I'll just go with the Info Warrior. It's not a big deal. Facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior. If you missed any of the show tonight, remember, we've got the podcast. We've got the Listen Live over on the corner of TheInfoWarrior.com. We're trying to upgrade the site. I've been updating two or three times a day. I might be going a little lighter on the weekend unless there's any big news out there that really deserves reporting. I mean, we talk about everything that's out there. We were the ones that were talking about the 72-year-old grandmother getting tased before the national media. We were the ones telling you about the MIAC report. We were the ones that break countless stories about pandemic level 6 before it actually happens. All right, let's go to Jacob in Maryland. Jacob, you're online.
Oh, hey, Jason, I have a question first before I go into what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, waiting for it, buddy.
Yes, I was going to wait until calling next month, but I'm going to be taking a class then, so it's okay that I call now again. Is it?
What? Losing me at all. I mean, this last segment of the Info Warrior has gone into bizarro world, my friend. What are you saying to me?
Well, I was just wondering if... let me go into what I think. I just wondering if I was calling to confirm. My thing is, I'm taking a college class, and they're making Barack Obama's book required reading for it.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering.
Well, there's plenty of brainwashing material that becomes required reading for school. It doesn't surprise me that they're making you read Barack Obama's book where he openly talks about using crystal meth and having a drinking problem.
Yeah, it's just kind of alarming to me.
There's plenty more, brother, that's alarming out there. City Year is much more alarming. The fact that he's fired. He has fired the head of AmeriCorps. Remember, AmeriCorps is where they're funneling all this Give Act money. He fired the head of AmeriCorps because AmeriCorps went after Kevin Johnson, the former NBA basketball player out of the Phoenix Suns, who apparently was misappropriating some of the funds in a precursor to this City Year push. He had like the Hood Corps or something like that. And apparently he was touching young girls. At least those are the allegations. You don't go after Barack Obama's globalist minions or you get fired, especially when AmeriCorps is going to be used to really indoctrinate the young people, and not only the youth, the teenagers, the 20-somethings, but those in your lower 30s as well, the Generation X, if you will. Generation X, NY, I thank you for the call, Jacob. Folks, I really hope that you gave to the money bomb. You know, I'm going to give out the number one more time, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. 201-2244. At last check, it was around 275 G-Dogs. I wouldn't mind a 300,000 before the weekends, and it really will help this program, Alex's program, you know, a new studio right next to this one. If you can't see the difference between what Alex Jones was doing 12 months ago and what Alex Jones is doing today, either you were not a listener or a viewer, or you're a loser. You're a crybaby loser who can't get over somebody else's success in really taking on powers that are insurmountable. I mean, it is an uphill battle in this office and others like it in the Patriot movement, in the alternative media. You have to struggle every day for every single bit of credibility that you're given by the powers that be. And, you know, Alex Jones has been a conduit of so much good and so much positivity, not only in this movement, but in my opinion, the world. And without him, I don't know where I would be, and I don't know where we would be as a society. Just one man. We all have a great, incredible power if we're willing to delve into ourselves and expose that to the world. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.